revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you stand?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. Oh, my number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me, my goodness gracious. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. In the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by members of the St. Louis Public School Board. Crisis going on in the St. Louis School Board, and a reason and a heads up for you to go to your school board meeting tomorrow. There's madness afoot in the St. Louis Public Schools, and you need to be apprised of it. And you need to, you need to get to your school board meeting. And that's tomorrow at 7 o'clock at Car Lane. Who do we have a lot of stuff to talk about? 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My name is Liz Brown, and we have business here to tend to. There are so many issues that are going on that are related to the the politics of the world that we live in. And I talk about it frequently. I've had guests on to talk about this issue that is the issue that is finding itself on the front page of the USA Today, finding itself in the world of people that have yet to fully engage themselves, plug themselves into the political world that we live in. And I wonder if this is not part of a plan. I wonder if this is not part of a plan to weaken people and disconnect people. Or not even disconnect people, but preclude people, I guess, from the political process. Make people so obsessed, so concerned, so single-minded on their own world that they don't have time to involve themselves in the political world. Huh. I wonder. Front page of USA Today. Growing number of college grads owe $100,000 or more for student loans when they graduate. Is that insane? $100,000. The average college senior graduated with more than $19,000 in debt. There's a person on the front page of the USA Today that says that graduated with a master's degree from Rutgers University in May. He owes $116,000 in loan. What's he going to be able to do? 25 years old. Master's degree in public policy. His payments will average $800 a month. And here's the joke. It's not a funny joke. It's not a ha-ha joke. But it's a joke nonetheless. Because he had such good grades, they paid for the last year, the university paid for the last year of his master's degree. And he's still walking away with $116,000 in student loans. At a time when his friends are thinking about buying their first home, he's looking for roommates to share a three-bedroom house so he can limit his rent to $600 a month. And he asked the question, which is a fair question, I've done everything. What did I do wrong? My question is what I began with. What kind of government do we have that allows for, that is content with a 25-year-old entering the job market with $116,000 in debt? What kind of system do we have that would allow for that? That is an obscenity. And it also is, it's a statement that our government is not trying to make America the strongest country in the world. Not trying to do that. Because I guess from their perspective is that kind of like sick folks. If folks are so scared about their health and focused on how unhealthy they are and trying to stay well, they're not going to get politically involved. There's been an increase in private loans. The federal Stafford loan allows students to borrow using federally backed loans with favorable interest rate and repayment terms. Okay? But there are limits. That's what they say. These Stafford loans will carry a fixed rate of 6.8%. That's up from the current fixed rate of 5.3%. What about people that want to get married and start a family? You know that there's a new thing on the internet with on dating websites. There are two things that people are now asking and trying to find. Some folks out there are looking for a mate with a good health care plan. And I'm not talking about 60-year-old people. I'm talking about people in their 30s. They're looking for a mate with a good health care plan, and they want to know how much debt their mate has. What kind of life? Let's say the two people with $116,000, one with $116,000debt to pay off, falls in love with the person with a $60,000 debt. That's before a house. That's before a kid. That's before, or two. That's before cars. The things that you have to have. Most Americans have to have a car. You do in St. Louis because public transportation is so lousy. New York, you don't have to have a car. But St. Louis ain't no New York. Never has been, never will be. You don't have the public transportation. Angela Snyder, 26 years old, graduated from Simmons College in Boston with a master's degree in social work and $118,000 in student loans. To make her monthly loan payment of $800, she has taken a part-time job providing in-school therapy in addition to her full-time position as a medical social worker. She lives on a tight budget that allows her $70 a month for anything outside of groceries. That's her entertainment budget. Oh, and how long will she be paying for that? For the same amount of time that it takes to pay off your house. 30 years. 30 years. It's despicable. It is despicable. And if you can pay off a car, $50,000 car, a $60,000 car in 5 years, in 3 years. Tell me why you have to take a student loan for 30 years. Tell me why. Greedy sons of guns, tell me why. If you can pay off a $100,000 car in 5 years, tell me why these greedy sons of guns can't be paid off on a shorter period of time. Emily Weinberg graduated from college in 2005. She owes $130,000 on student loans. Ask me how much money she makes a month. She makes $2,100 in a month in take-home pay. How much does she pay a month in student loans? $1,200. She pays $1,200. Okay, 44% of graduates with debt said that they delayed buying a house. 28% said that they've delayed making children. 27%, and some people said, well, fine, you can't afford children, don't have children, fine. Don't go forth and procreate, go forth and pay your student loans off. But how about this? 27% have delayed getting a medical or dental procedure. 25% have put off getting car repairs. Home maintenance repairs, 22%. Marriage, 18%. This is disgusting. This is despicable. And it also speaks volumes about who we are and where we are. I remember when I graduated from law school. It wasn't all that long ago. But you could make a decision to go into an area of, let's say, be a public defender. Let's say legal services. You could make that decision. You really could. Without any problem, you could make that decision. Without having any severe life-altering impact. You get out of law school today, you have $80,000, $90,000 worth of debt. Tell me, help me. Are you going to make a decision to go into public interest? Or are you going to try to go out there and start your law firm to pay off your debts? Or are you going to go out there and try to get the biggest money-making job that you can? Bump public service. I can't afford public service. And what does that do to a society? Well, it talks about the absence of balance in this society. Because we need all kinds. And not as many of certain kinds. And let's, you know what, somebody should be doing a study. I wish I could commission it. Could commission a study. Because I want to know the health of a 26-year-old who starts out their working career with the stress of $130,000 worth of debt looming over them for the next 30 years. I want to know how healthy they end up being. Because I bet you, by golly wow, if you track those people for 30 years, they're going to have high blood pressure. They're going to have weight issues. They are going, and if there is such thing as, I'm certain that there is, a happiness factor. How do you live out your life with the weight of $130,000 over your head? What kind of quality of life can you live? They're 25 years old. They don't know. Shoot, you thought you could do it. You thought you knew everything in your 20s, and you thought you could do everything in your 20s. That's not true. That's not true. You can't. There's a quality of life issue here that is unfair, that is wrong, that is unacceptable, and that is obscene in the greatest country on the face of the earth, isn't it? And I haven't even talked about that other pressure out there. You have to have a college degree to get an entry-level job nowadays. To get an entry-level job. There's a pressure for advanced degree. The advanced degree is now what a bachelor's degree used to be 20 years ago. This 24-year-old by the name of Rochelle Routsong. Brigham Young graduate, bachelor's degree in health science. The only relevant jobs she could find were administrative positions in doctor's office and community health centers, secretarial. The pay was low, a lot of paperwork, and didn't enjoy it. So she decided to return to school to get her master's degree as a nurse practitioner. She looked into nursing programs at several community colleges. All had 2 to 3 year waiting lists. 2 to 3 year waiting lists. She entered an accelerated program at the University of San Diego, a private school. that allows her to get her master's degree in 3 years. She borrowed $65,000 and expects her loans to top $165,000 by the time she graduates. She said her student loan debt occupies a place in the recesses of her mind. Baby, it's in the front part of your mind if you're for real. I want to get married, and I want to have a family. Good luck with that. We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me.
It will be all right. He assures her. But she doesn't hear a word that he says. Preoccupied. She's afraid. Afraid what they've been doing is not right. He doesn't know what to say. So he prays. Whatever, 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 whatever happens.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We're looking at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Eastbound 44 at Bowles and 270 looks good. Northbound 55 at Richardson. 270 is on the move. Northbound 270 at 44. Nothing to report there. Eastbound 40 from the Bloom Bridge. 270 is on the move. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs to Blanchett Bridge. Everything is moving steady this hour. Westbound 64. Northbound Route 3. Look for no problems on the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound Kingbridge traffic. No problems there. Westbound 6570 at the CSC. Look for paving operations. Reduce to three lanes, and the right lane is slow all the way back to 4th Street. Eastbound 40 at Poplar Street Bridge. You've got paving operations. The right lane's closed there. There are no delays this time, but use caution and heads up. Westbound East Bridge, no problems to report there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and a regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic, it's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy this morning, partly cloudy this afternoon, high in the upper 70s this evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s. Moving on to Tuesday, partly cloudy skies, high around 80, and Wednesday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. Currently, we have 61 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 61. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggert, host of Bad Boys on WGNU. Join us as we discuss topics ranging from review boards and high-speed chases to residency requirements for the police. We'll discuss gangs and drugs and how it affects your neighborhood every Friday at 10. I won't fix your tickets, but I will offer you tips on personal safety and how to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wiggert, Friday mornings at 10, only on WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Because you want to know what you're going to get in just a little tattoo stock one or two.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Oh, my goodness, we have so much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Well, good morning, Miss Brown. How are you this beautiful day?
I'm outstanding. How are you, Mac?
Student loans and prison. We, in this country, we got it all backwards. Is it? The whole system is backwards. Do you know the status on loans in Japan and what they pay? Because they do a lot of time in school and against the American people. Well, I say that American people spends more time on trying to incarcerate a person than educate a person. 4 years in the penitentiary is $160,000. American people would rather pay $160,000 to educate people than to pay towards, I mean, to house people in the penitentiary than to pay towards educating people. That's why our problem is this thing. Our problem is locking up people in this country, not educating people. There's more money in locking them up than educating them.
I think that both of those things, it's amazing how we treat people at the so-called top and how we treat people at the so-called bottom. I mean, you're absolutely right. It is an obscenity for this country to spend the amount of money that it does, locking people up, incarcerating, and going after women for nonviolent crimes.
It's
an obscenity. It is an obscenity how they treat people at the top, because supposedly kids that come out of college with college degrees are our best and brightest, the finest that this nation has to offer. They're treating them the same way that they're treating people at the so-called bottom.
Right.
You know, it's insane.
It is.
Is insane.
Taxpayers seemingly would rather, you know, because most of the people that we have in our penitentiary are mostly high school dropouts.
Mm.
So if they would spend more money on kids at the beginning of school, they would have less people in the penitentiary.
But
they would cost less money.
But they also need to spend money on the people at the top of the food chain, so they say. People coming out of college.
Well, the people coming out of college spending that type of money, I hope they'd be able to find a job.
Well, they can't. That's the point. They can't.
Thank you.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have you know, we have much to talk about. There's an article on in the New York Times. And now the United States Army is fascinating. It's just fascinating to live at the time where we live. It's fascinating. We have two stories in the air right now. The stories of prisoners at Guantanamo Bay hanging themselves. And there's the, I guess obscene is the word of the day. Maybe I need to start doing what Stephen Colbert does and start with the word of the day. You know, and maybe we just need to start with the word of the day. Because there are articles out here in the world saying that wasn't any problem with it was legal. Let me say it again, legal. And for those prisoners, those detainees, those people United States created a gulag. To hang themselves. So that story's out there floating out there that they hung themselves, but it was their fault. And they, you know, if it wasn't so tragic, it could be called sick humor. On the part of the United States government. They're just trying to get attention, huh? They're just trying to get attention by killing themselves like that, huh? Huh? Just trying to get attention. At the same time that story is floating in the air out there, the top American commander in Iraq on Sunday rejected as baloney an account by an Iraqi witness who said that the dying man resembling al-Zarqawi had been beaten by American troops after the warplanes demolished Zarqawi's safe house with a pair of bombs on Wednesday evening. Huh? Let me get this straight. We are being asked to believe that the same military that has brought us Haditha and dozens of others Hadithas, Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo, dogs, electrobes, black hoods, would be incapable of beating the wrong person to death? I don't know. I think Amadou Diallo would disagree with the possibility of mistaken identity. I think his family would. He's no longer with us. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My name is Liz Brown. You're on the wake-up call.
Yeah, Liz, I just wanted to talk about college, and they were talking about how much money they were.
You need to speak into your phone more.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Better.
Okay. I was trying to talk about the kids in college that are paying this astronomical fees when they get out. I was just thinking about, you know, Mr. McGee was starting a program for entrepreneurs for children.
Right.
And, you know, I was just thinking, maybe we need to get our children more involved in, you know, trying to get our own business started and use the money that we're trying to send them to college.
That,
you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is. We need to be rethinking. We need to be rethinking everything.
Right.
Because it is obscene for children to come out of college with $160,000 worth of debt. That's an insurmountable mountain. It's an unnecessary mountain, and it's a destructive mountain.
Right.
It's awful.
We need to talk to Ms. McGee.
Well, actually, we're going to have him on the show. He's going to bring on the babies and the jobs that they came up with.
Okay.
And that's going to be next week. Okay, so you must have been reading the wake-up call spirit here.
Okay.
All right, thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, you are talking about educational scandals. And we have an educational scandal inside of the United States of America, and we have the temporary employment agencies go into the telephone book and just look at it, how many of them. And the college graduates have to face those temporary agencies, even when they are professionals, accountants, this and that. We have a problem here, and the jobs, when you look at the skill jobs, for instance, at the Roberts Brothers building, the contractors are face lifting the building. They're all white. They're all white.
Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get to me. Ain't that something to think about? I'll be back.
One praises fools, one's mother's light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999. Watching everything the engineer
would move. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Mogadishu. State Department officials in Washington say they are disappointed to learn that the government of Somalia has been taken over by a well-trained militia organization called the Islamic Courts Union. After months of armed conflict with a number of groups led by various tribal warlords, the ICU promises to bring stability to a country that has had nothing but conflict for the past 15 years. It was revealed 2 weeks ago that the Bush administration had been giving help to some of the warlords in order to get information about Al-Qaeda operations in the Horn of Africa and to prevent the establishment of a fundamentalist Islamic state in the region. The Islamic Courts Union holds to a belief in strict Sharia law and advocates a fundamentalist way of life for Somalia. Warlords had gained control over major ports and infrastructure points, which led to making themselves rich but not offering any improvements to the average resident. Analysts say this scenario led to a climate right for the fundamentalist movement to have its way. The Bush administration recognized this trend and earlier this year developed a strategy to back a coalition of warlords called the Alliance for the Restoration of Peace and Counterterrorism. But America's own diplomats in Nairobi were critical of the policy, saying it would be bad for long-term relations. However, their concerns were ignored, and in one case, a vocal critic was moved to another country. The State Department got overruled by the CIA and the American military because their idea of nation-building was a strategy too slow in producing results. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
The St. Louis Writers Guild presents the D.N. Wagner Poetry Contest, now open for submissions. You can win cash prizes and have your work published online. Cost is $10 for one poem and $5 for each additional poem. There is no limit on the number of submissions. Deadline is June 17th. For complete details, visit the website at stlwritersguild.org or send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the St. Louis Writers Guild Attention Poetry Contest, P.O. Box 771765, St. Louis, Missouri 63177. Something poetic for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Hello, St. Louis. It's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy, inviting you to join us for the Travel Planner Show every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4.
We talk travel, share our experiences, tell you about some great deals and steals, and give you some travel tips like this.
We always cross-pack at least one change of clothes in each other's bag, just in case a bag gets lost.
Plus, it sure does give the security guys a good laugh when they see those little panties in my bag.
So tell a friend. It's the Travel Planner Show from 2 to 4 every Saturday afternoon.
On Radio Free St. Louis, 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Laurie Falkerson. Join me every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 920 WGNU. You'll enjoy hearing stories of people who are making the difference in the lives of others. Join me, Laurie Falkerson, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I wonder why I even try. Well, I try because I like to finish what I start, and I have faith it can get better tomorrow. But it won't if you keep treating me like I'm invisible.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get to me. In the next hour, we are going to have a discussion with school board members from the St. Louis Public Schools. There is absolute madness going on in the St. Louis Public Schools. We have a school board meeting tomorrow. And there is madness going on, and you need to be at your school board meeting tomorrow at 7 o'clock at Carr Lane. They're transferring Craig Williams because he is so incompetent, because of what he is doing, and because of the decision that he made to do all of these summer schools without any kind of planning, without any kind of he doesn't have the skill level, bless his heart, doesn't have the skill level. They're now transferring assistant principals to classrooms to teach after laying off dozens and dozens and dozens of summer school teachers. There's no air conditioning in some of the schools. There is madness going on. And I want you to know about an attack from Francis Slay on this school board. And you're going to hear that story, breaking story, here on the Wake Up Call this morning at 7 o'clock in the next hour. You don't want to miss that. It's just madness. Madness. And we must rise up. We must rise up. Because they're trying to take our schools from us. They're trying to take our schools from us. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Gracie.
Yes. Hi. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good, Liz. Just quickly, I want to let you know that back in 1970, well, I had been with the juvenile system for several years, many years, and I returned to St. Louis U to get my MSW.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me tell you all we had to do, Miss Liz. All we had to do was sign a contract indicating that we would stay in the field of corrections for 5 years after we receive our degree.
Mm.
And that's all we had to do. But let me tell you who knocked that in the head, dismantled it. It was dismantled during the Reagan administration. Okay,
that's what I'm talking about.
Bumped it out, baby.
That's what I'm talking about.
Bumped it out.
But we also need to, Gracie, we mm-hmm. also need to recognize that it wasn't just Ronald Reagan.
Oh no,
it's not just Boy George's daddy.
Right.
Bill Clinton also reduced the number of Pell Grants available. You know, so it's been a progress and a process, and we need to, folks need to say no.
Oh, it's horrible.
It is horrible.
Horrible.
Yes, it is.
Okay, see you Saturday.
All right, now at the Urban Saturday Morning Urban Institute, U of I. That's right. I want to thank everybody for coming out on Saturday. It was a great meeting. We had put out lots of good information, and of course, coming up this Saturday once again at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor, the Saturday Morning Urban Institute, Irene J. Smith and myself. We have much business to tend to. And I'm reeling with what is going on in our community, what is going on in the city of St. Louis. We got together as citizens. We brought all kinds of information to citizens. We worked very hard on the school board election, and we won. We won. Against the odds of millions of dollars, we won. And now, Vince Schemel. And now, Francis Slay. Are attempting to take that victory from us. And this is unacceptable. Teachers are being told, you may not get paid. Summer school teachers, check this out. Summer school teachers are being told, you're not going to be paid until September. For your job. Do you hear what I'm saying? You think Craig Williams gets his $25,000 check every month? You think he has to put off any of his bills? You think? I'm just asking. I have not been up in the man's checkbook, but I bet you he gets paid every single month. But he's telling teachers that they have to wait until September. The few teachers that are working in the summer school program, you're just going to have to wait to September to get your check. Unacceptable. 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 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920. We have much, much, much to talk about. These are perilous times. And those who stay away from the fight will suffer the repercussions of that. They still want the school district. And we need to talk about the president of the school board as well. And we need to talk about the problems in the school board. And we're going to do that in the next hour. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this go? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this go?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you pick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this
end? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City.
Stanton forecast is still to remain as a tropical storm.
And once all said and done, the National Hurricane Center's Lieutenant Dave Roberts says Alberta may not be that strong of a tropical storm, but it is the first named system of the 2006 hurricane season, so it's getting a lot of attention. ABC's Chris Cuomo is in North Reddington Beach, Florida, along the state's Gulf Coast.
Locals here say it takes a Category 3 hurricane or worse to get them worried. But overnight reports that Alberta is getting organized and strengthening are unsettling. The wind and the rain are picking up here, and that could mean more trouble for the Sunshine State.
Alberta is due to make landfall tomorrow. Forecasters say this year's hurricane season could be almost as bad as last year's. President Bush is at Camp David. He's ready to meet with his war cabinet. The topic, Iraq. ABC's Ann Compton is near the presidential retreat.
In log cabins behind miles of barbed wire fencing, President Bush has summoned his cabinet for 2 days of talk about Iraq.
I felt that Camp David's a good place to do it because it can be distracting down in Washington, phone calls and all this kind of stuff.
But there will be TV, closed-circuit video conferencing. Iraq's new government ministers will join at the table electronically tomorrow. Ann Compton, ABC News, near Camp David, Maryland.
The White House says no announcements about troop withdrawals are expected. Bail hearings today for 14 Muslims suspected in a plot to carry out terror attacks in Canada. They were arrested earlier this month. Prosecutors could ask the judge to ban the media from reporting the details of the allegations against the Canadian citizens.
If you don't respect the court, I will remove you from the court.
There were more distractions today at the trial of Saddam Hussein. This time, the former Iraqi leader's brother, Ibrahim al-Takridi, took center stage. He got into a heated argument with the judge, and at times it got bad enough that eventually authorities decided to throw him out of the courtroom. This is ABC News.
A moonlight carriage ride down a cobblestone road, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and with every bump, the pain drives you insane.
I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cream with maximum strength pain relief still relieves burning and itching and adds maximum strength pain relief on contact. It's the most complete Preparation H relief ever.
Don't you love carriage rides?
I do now.
Preparation H cream, pain relief on contact. Use as directed.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon. Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making...
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste. And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Heard the latest trend in cell phone ringtones? Chances are you haven't if you're over the age of 25. ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey explains.
Call it the stealth tone. Oh, it's there. High-pitched. But more audible to younger people than older adults. We tested in the newsroom with younger interns and desk assistants.
I can hear it loud and clear.
And older editors.
I hear nothing.
People generally lose the ability to hear higher-pitched tones as they age. The New York Times reports some high school students are installing the stealth tone on their cell phones. They can hear it. Teachers can't. And without headphones, I confess, neither can I. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Jersey Boys won Best Musical at last night's Tony Awards. The show's about the 60s pop group Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. The show's star John Lloyd won Young Best Actor. That's less than 2 years after he made his Broadway debut as an usher at theaters. Daria Almanger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
And this WGNU News update is brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-Ins. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, a baby girl born 10 weeks premature and found in a dumpster last month is recovering. Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital officials say the baby is up to 4 pounds and could be released sooner than previously thought. The baby was admitted to the hospital after paramedics found her in a dumpster wrapped in plastic bags. She's breathing on her own and is learning to work with a nipple so she can feed normally and gain even more weight. Hospital officials hope no charges have been filed yet against the baby's mother, who's accused of leaving her in the dumpster in St. Charles. In other news, St. Louis police are releasing the names of the victims of an apparent murder-suicide on the Hill. The bodies of 70-year-old John Beltram and his 63-year-old wife Phyllis were found Friday morning on the kitchen floor in their home in the 5600 block of Botanical. Police believe John Beltram shot his wife in the head and then turned the gun on himself. And finally, this hour, health experts are reminding the public to take precautions during tick season. Karen Funkenbusch, a rural safety and health specialist at the University of Missouri-Columbia, explains how to avoid coming into contact with ticks.
If you have long hair, you'd want to tie it back and keep it tucked under a hat. You want to wear protective clothing, such as a long-sleeve shirt, long pants tucked into your socks, and shoes that cover your entire foot. You also might want to wear light-colored clothing so that if you can see the tick, that if it gets on you, you can spot it right away. Avoid walking in high grasses.
Ticks are known to spread Lyme disease, an infection that can cause painful arthritis, cardiac problems, and mental disorders. That's a report of WGNU News brought to you by Sonic. Not just good, it's Sonic good. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and regular coffee or a soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic is not just good, it's Sonic good. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Eastbound 44 at Bowles and 270 looks good. Northbound 55 at Richardson. 270 is on the move. Northbound 270 at 44. Look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 40 between Boone Bridge and 270 looks good. Eastbound 70 from Blanchette all the way back through Cave Springs is on the move. Westbound 270 at 367-170 looks good. Westbound 64, northbound Route 3, look for no problems to report there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good. Westbound 5570, there's paving operations reduced to 3 lanes, and traffic is slow near 4th Street. And eastbound 40 at Poplar Street Bridge, the right lane's closed due to paving operations. Westbound East Bridge traffic looks good. And eastbound Page at North Taylor is a report of an accident. The right lane is blocked. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your local Toyota dealer. Toyota owners tires need tires through July 31st. Get a $50 gas card with the purchase of any Ford tires at participating Toyota dealers. Visit Toyota online, toyotaownersonline.com for more details. That's toyotaownersonline.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday, 40-day, mostly cloudy this morning, partly cloudy this afternoon, high in the upper 70s this evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s, Tuesday partly cloudy with a high around 80, and Wednesday partly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 61 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 61, both under cloudy conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Our power. Please do not beg folks to
is it to you? You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I've been telling you this morning that we have a school board meeting tomorrow. And decided to do a little different today. Normally we wait till after the school board meeting to do our normal St. Louis Public Schools watch, but couldn't wait this time because there's insanity going on in the city of St. Louis, and also I think that there is a reminder here of the work that continues that needs to be done in the St. Louis Public Schools, and that despite the fact that we won the election, the battle has not been fully won yet. And I have in the studio with me this morning Donna Jones, school board member, and Peter Towns. Both of you, good morning.
Good morning.
I found out last week, Peter and Donna, that letter via courier came to both of you. And
let me make one correction right there. I never got one.
Your treasurer got one.
Yes, it went to my treasurer,
okay,
my campaign treasurer.
And Donna, did the letter come to you?
The letter came to myself and my treasurer.
And
at
your
her home.
At her home.
Yes.
Okay. So I want to start with you, Peter. How did you find out about this letter?
Okay, there were, I'll say, two quick phone calls on Friday morning. I had a phone call from...
This was last Friday.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so... 4 days ago.
Okay.
Got a phone call from the woman who had been my campaign treasurer that a letter had been dropped off, hand-delivered at her office, from the Board of Election Commissioners that alleged that we hadn't filed our campaign finance reports since January.
Mm-hmm. Since January?
Since January.
And how many have been due since January?
Well, there's the one due in January. There's 45 days before the election, 8 days before the election, and then 30 days after the election. So probably three reports.
So they came. The letter.
There might be another one. You know, there might be one I'm not remembering right now. But
at least three.
But at least three.
At least three. And the letter was alleging that none of those reports had been filed.
That's right.
Okay. And go ahead.
And immediately after we hung up the phone. My phone rang again, and it was...
When you say immediately, are we talking 15, 20 minutes later? Are we talking?
No, we are literally talking 3 seconds.
Okay, 3 seconds later, your phone rings. Who is it?
3 seconds, my phone rings. It's Sharon Stevens, a reporter from KSDK Channel 5. She asked if I got my letter from the election board yet. And
wait a minute. You had just hung up from your treasurer.
Yes.
And your treasurer had just been handed it. She called as soon as it hit her hand.
She called as soon as she got it, yes. And I said, well, my treasurer got one. And Sharon Stevens said, well, Ed Martin is talking about you. Do you want to respond? Ed Martin is the...
The Republican commissioner for the St. Louis
Board of Education. He's chairman of the election of the election board right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, and she came on over and we did an interview. But so that's how I first heard about it. It was clear that Ed Martin from the election board had gone to the press... really, before letters were delivered.
That's right. That's right. Before the letters were even delivered, the first phone call was to the press.
Yes.
Because 3 seconds after you get off the phone, Channel 5 is calling you.
Channel 5 is calling me, and she had apparently, you know, already taped an interview with Ed Martin. So he had, you know, called her to arrange the interview before I got the letter.
And then, okay, now let me get to you, Donna. Donna, how did you get this letter?
Well, I was at home. It was about 7 p.m., mm-hmm. and a courier arrived at my door. On Friday evening, mm-hmm. and said that he had a letter for myself, and I took the letter, signed for it, and it was from the Board of Election Commissions.
Okay.
Stating the same thing that Peter just quoted. And,
okay. And let me, excuse me, you mind if I read this letter?
Go ahead.
Excuse me. Dear Ms. Jones, as I'm sure you are aware, the Missouri Campaign Finance Disclosure Law, and it quotes the site, governs financial contributions to any individual seeking nomination or election to a public office, including not but limited to school officials, which are filed by a vote of registered voters. And again, the citation. One of the appropriate officers designated for the filing of elections reports for the City of St. Louis and the Board of the City of St. Louis Board of Elections Commissioners. Missouri law requires that the filing of a quarterly disclosure report of receipts and expenditures for each candidate. The disclosure for the first quarter of any given year must be reported not later than the 15th day of April for the period closing on the 31st day of March. Every candidate shall file at a minimum the campaign disclosure reports covering any quarter immediately preceding the date of the election. In checking the financial disclosure records kept by the City of St. Louis Board of Election Commissioners, it has come to our attention that you have not filed the required disclosure forms as outlined in the statute. And the statute is cited. Any person, individual, or committee who does not file a required report may be liable to the state in civil penalties twice the amount of any contribution or expenditure, not to exceed the total amount of $5,000. Please provide the afore form to the City of St. Louis in order to avoid a financial penalty by Monday, June 11th. A fine of, $10 will be levied per day for each day of delinquency following Monday, June 11th. Reports provided to the Board of Election after 12 o'clock on any day are penalized for that day. Sincerely, Edward Martin. This looks like a stamp. This is a copy, or is this the... This is what
that's the original
that's
letter.
That's the original. And it looks like it's stamped. It doesn't even look like a signature on it. And a CC to the attorney for the St. Louis Board of... on the St. Louis School Board.
Yeah.
Now,
by the way, there was no Monday, June 11th.
Correct.
What is June 11th?
That was yesterday. That was Sunday.
Mm-hmm. That is so Monday, June 11th. Okay. So, Peter, you get this letter from, or you know, you hear of this letter.
I hear of this letter,
from
yeah.
your treasurer. Then you hear of this letter from Sharon Stevens from Channel 5, who's already taped an interview with Ed Martin, who signed a letter for a day that doesn't exist. They say in this letter, does this sound like the same letter that was sent to you?
The letter wasn't read to me, so it very well might be the same letter.
Okay. In this letter to Donna says that, in checking our financial disclosure records kept by the City of St. Louis, blah, 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 we don't have your records. What did you, when you were told that you hadn't filed records, what did you think? Well, don't share everything. Don't share everything.
Some of it I can't say on the radio.
Yeah.
Well, first, I knew we had filed them. Mm-hmm. Between my treasurer and I, and in fact, we had talked about how crazy April was, mm-hmm. because we have, I mentioned there's the 8 day before the election report.
Mm-hmm.
If you get any contributions within 48 hours of the election, you have to file another report mm-hmm. 48 hours before the election.
Mm-hmm.
There's a quarterly report due April 15th. And then there's another report due April 30th. So you're doing
wow.
all of them basically the same information for something like a school board race,
right.
but, file a report 3 or 4 times.
Right.
And what my treasurer is a an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
And, it pays to be obsessive about details,
yeah.
which
mm-hmm.
she is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had, with every report, one of us, we would walk it down to the election.
Mm-hmm.
Board.
Never mailed anything.
Never mailed it.
Okay.
Walked it down there, went in, and had with 2 copies of the report. So with 1 copy, we would have them time stamp it at the election board.
Mm-hmm.
So it has this stamp then that says City of St. Louis Board of Election Commissioners, and it gives the date and the time, and whoever receives it signs it. So we had proof that we had filed everyone.
Mm-hmm.
When at first, the 3 seconds between when I talked to my treasurer and talked to Sharon Stevens, when just talking to the treasurer, we thought, the election board is so screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
They lost something. Well, they want another copy. Well, fax. We can send them a copy with their stamp on mm-hmm. it saying, see, you did it.
And so for that 3 seconds that you had to think about that and talk about that with your treasurer, you were thinking that this is just, heads up, we need some reports. What did you think once you got the call from Channel 5?
Well, when I got the call from Channel 5, I thought, okay, this is a political attack.
Yes, it is.
This is has nothing to do – and because it's a political attack, I began to wonder if they had destroyed the reports.
So Donna, when you got the phone call from Sharon Stevens from Channel 5, what did you first of all, what did she ask you? And when did you get your call?
Well, she told me that I believe it had been some type of press conference, and I got my call pretty early up in the day. It was pretty up maybe around I met with her about 2:00 in the afternoon.
What
so
day?
It had to be
on Friday?
On Friday.
Okay.
Right.
So you hadn't received your letter yet? When did you get your letter from her? From the Board of Elections?
Actually, it came at 7 p.m., so it had to be 7 p.m. Thursday evening.
Okay.
Thursday evening.
Okay.
And Sharon called me early that morning. And then I called Peter to ask him, had he received a letter
mm-hmm.
also? He hadn't received anything at that time,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe. And then he told me later that Sharon called him.
Okay.
Okay. And after receiving the call, Sharon wanted to meet with me at 2:00 in front of my home
mm-hmm.
to do an interview
mm-hmm.
to ask me about the filing of the disclosure reports. And I told her that that would be fine, but I needed to talk with Ken Bronstrom, the attorney for the school board.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, that's how it went,
mm-hmm.
and we had the interview, and I told her that I had filed my campaign disclosure forms, and the last one was filed May the 1st, and it was stamped from St. Louis Board of Election Commission.
Okay, so both of you had filed your reports, right?
Yes.
Was there one report, though, Donna, that you talked about that you weren't sure whether or not you had filed a report on? Did you, when Channel 5 interviewed you, you saw the report on the news, right?
That was the very last one when we were having our conversation. I was speaking about the last one where you closed the campaign out, and we were under the impression that we had until the beginning of July to do that.
Okay. So this isn't a report about how much money you have. The last report is we're closing out our campaign committee.
Right. That's correct.
There's no money report in that, is there?
There probably would be a brief one. Because
okay.
There wasn't anything. It would probably be about the same
okay.
that it was before. There was really nothing there.
So there was one that you were under the impression that you had until July
yes.
to file.
Yes.
So did Channel 5 run a story on this?
Yes, they did at 6:00 p.m., and it was chopped up pretty good, and it left me, as the one who participated, with the impression that I had did something wrong, that I hadn't filed anything that I was going to rush down on Monday this morning and try to hurry up and file something.
And Peter, I guess that the choppiness of the story kind of speaks to me again of the political attack as you've described it. Because you weren't in, Donna, Peter wasn't in the news story at all.
No, he wasn't.
And Peter, you showed Channel 5 your reports, right, with the timestamps
yes.
on them.
Yes.
So what I find, when you say that it's a political attack, you got to kind of wonder when the news story that's reported doesn't report that Ed Martin held a press conference accusing Peter Downs of not filing any of the reports, and it turns out that Peter Downs has filed every single one of the reports. That was not in the news story.
No, it was not.
And so that adds evidence, don't you think, that this seems to be a calculated political attack?
Yeah, I think it does. I had thought. I wasn't able to watch the news Friday night. I didn't know if the story ran or not,
mm-hmm.
and I hadn't heard from anybody over the weekend, so I was actually thinking it didn't run. Because I was thinking if, you know, a reporter, you get an allegation from one side saying this
right.
is the case, and then the other side proves, as I did, mm-hmm. that all these reports with a stamp on, that it didn't happen.
But then the story...
That you might say, okay, there's no story here, and not run a story.
Or the story is the accusation came out, because I remember as a person of African descent, I remember the constant attacks on the Board of Elections all the time from the media, the incompetence of the media.
Right.
The incompetence of the Board of Election, that the files, nobody can get anything done, that we need to overturn it, we need to bring in all these new people to change the Board of Elections. So then, since that has been the history of Channel 5 in pointing out the flaws of the Board of Elections, it seems to me then the story would then become, here's another screwed up act.
Here they go again,
another screwed up act. They can't even get the date right. They create a new date, Monday, June 11th, and there is no Monday, June 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And then they accuse new school board members of something. They take the time to courier something to them, and then they're completely wrong with it. You would think that if this wasn't a political attack, then the story would have been Ed Martin's an idiot. And he called press conferences, and he sends out letters, and his office is saying, we've looked for the stuff, and we can't find it. Well, the stuff was filed, so your office is screwed up, and you're an idiot for doing this. That wasn't the story that was reported.
Well, I remember when we had a problem from the beginning with the campaign filing, I brought my first financial disclosure form down to file it, and I asked if there was some type of penalty for being late. I said, how do you do this? Do you stamp it? And the lady just took my file, and she never gave me a stamped copy. So since I was not someone familiar with that whole process, I accepted that, but I made sure the next time that I did that I had it stamped. But
mm-hmm.
there were several people in the room when I asked that question, what was the procedure, so that I can understand and familiarize myself with the procedure.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the person didn't give you any of that?
No, they did not.
So I guess I have to ask you all, given the fact that you all didn't see this coming, that Ed Martin filing this letter and all of this was not something that you've seen coming, what does it say to you that Channel 5 was called on this, that Ed Martin wrote a letter that in effect is absolutely inaccurate? That you didn't file all of your reports, and that you didn't file all of your reports.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say to you about what's going on with the St. Louis Public Schools, and your position in the St. Louis Public Schools?
Well, you know, I'd mentioned to you once off the air how I had received I used to call them threats, saying if I didn't stop coming on your show,
mm-hmm.
and if I didn't stop publicly disagreeing with the superintendent, then there'd be a nasty public campaign started against him.
Mm.
So I have to wonder if this is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear that we have talked on this show, and I've heard you talk on other shows with other people about the mayor apparently trying to set up a parallel school system,
That's
a system
right.
of charter schools.
That's right.
And I think part of advancing that is, again, attacking the people who are really trying to make a difference in St. Louis public schools.
Mm. Donna, what do you take out of this?
Well, my take is that I think that we're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
I think obviously if people are taking time out to meet
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. about us secretly that we must be on the right track with what we're trying to do. We are really trying to get the correct information out to the public. Let people know. If you elect someone to an office, you want them to be honest with you and straightforward and let you know what's going on. And that's what we have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we have not been doing anything wrong. We are trying to do the right thing by the people who put us into office because we care.
And what is the fascinating part of this story, Peter and Donna, is the Board of Elections sent out a letter signed by the chairman, couriered over like it was some kind of it just has set up written all over it. I mean, it was couriered over. Why wasn't it mailed? I mean, what is the data? Well, the date of Monday, June 11th, doesn't exist. But what is the date of Monday, June, what is it, 12th today?
Yes.
Yeah. What is the significance of that particular date? Why did things have to be in on Monday, June 12th, or fines would start to occur? Was that why that date?
Yeah, I don't know why that date. I relay here a comment from the board, the school board's attorney,
okay.
Ken Brostrom, who said that the election board has no power to levy any fines.
What?
There's always talk about fines. They don't have any power to levy fines. The most they can do is to send a notice, a recommendation to the Ethics Commission in Jefferson City saying that so-and-so was late filing, and we recommend you assess fines. But it's the Ethics Commission in Jefferson City which has the powers to levy fines.
And that's a process, too.
Yes.
And so this pulled out of the air, pulled out of someplace date is meaningless, and then that makes this letter even more threatening, doesn't it? I mean, from the perspective...
Makes the letter even more false, I think.
Well, it makes it more false, but makes it more threatening from the perspective of this appears to be somebody attempting to use their office to intimidate or to... Because if you can't levy fines, what's the threat?
Right.
You know, if you can't do what you're saying that you're going to do, why did you write this down except but to threaten somebody?
Correct.
We need to talk some more about this. We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Donna Jones, school board member, Peter Downs, school board member. Stay with us, folks. We have much to talk about. School board meeting is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to be down.
7 p.m.
7 p.m.
That's
at Car Lane.
Right.
Do you remember when I moved in you? The holy dark was moving too.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Gutter Monster from St. Clair. Westbound 70 at Union is reported when accident's been cleared. There may be some delays. Northbound 55 at Imperial Main and Butler Hill. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 from Chesterfield to Clarkson. Look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to 79. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170 heavy traffic in the right lane. In both directions at 170 and Page and Olive, there's construction, and just use caution as you roll up through those construction zones. Westbound 64 at 5570, no problems. Northbound Route 3 at 8th Street all the way into the PSB, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from State Line all the way into Cleve Landing, look for slight delay. Westbound and eastbound 40 on the Poplar Street Bridge, expect delays due to paving operations. And westbound Eden Bridge traffic looks for no problems to report there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Gutter Monster. Gutter protection that does more than keep leaves out. Call 1-800-444-1884 and save 20%. Gutter Monster from St. Clair, bringing your home the very best for over 120 years. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy this morning, partly cloudy by this afternoon, high in the upper 70s this evening, partly cloudy, low in the upper 50s. Tuesday, partly cloudy, high around 80, and Wednesday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 62 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 62. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon.
Hi, I'm Carrie Verschel.
And I'm Elaine Adams.
Join us here in the ladies' room every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. An exclusive format for ladies with challenging, insightful, objective, and thought-provoking topics.
The ladies' room. It's time to revive, restore, renew, rejuvenate, and refresh, where there's always something to talk about.
So join us in the ladies' room.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown, and I'm talking to school board members Madonna Jones and Peter Downs about this amazing letter that they received from the Board of Elections, in particular Ed Martin, the chairman of the St. Louis Board of Elections Commissioners. And I just want to do a little background on Ed Martin. Ed Martin was a lobbyist for All Children Matters. He was a lobbyist for charters, for vouchers. And also Ed Martin, when we checked the campaign finance reports that apparently he doesn't know the rules for, when he submitted his lobbyist reports, he took a lot of the voucher people. He spent a whole lot of time wooing Rodney Hubbard. He spent a whole lot of time wooing Ted Hoskins. There was a Yaphet El Amin meeting or two in there as well. So he spent a lot of time and a good bit of money wooing these particular elected officials for the issue of vouchers. So since we know that Ed Martin is a Republican him and that he is a voucher proponent. How does that fit into the attack on both of y'all? Does that have a connect? Can we make a connection with that in terms of where this is coming from? Does it fit into Slay's plan? What are some theories that we could put out here?
Well, it's all speculation, but I think we can theorize about it. And I want to add to that when Ed Martin was appointed as the Republican commissioner, Blunt nominated as the Democratic commissioner, Ed Martin's assistant from All Children Matters. Now that Maida Coleman blocked that appointment,
right.
But he tried to put the two lobbyists, two voucher lobbyists, in as 50% of the St. Louis Board of Election Commissioners.
Right. And she would have been a Democratic appointee.
She would have been the quote-unquote Democratic commissioner.
And she's a black woman.
Yes.
Okay. So that they thought that they were going to be able to just put that in like that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that was stopped.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Maida Coleman stopped that. But clearly there's an attempt to pack this board with voucher proponents that are going to oversee elections. And you can only say, why particularly voucher proponents? And that must be that they figure those are crucial elections. That's a crucial issue for the Republicans not just Republicans.
Right,
because we have
Frances Slay in there as well.
Right.
Because Frances Slay, Ed Martin calls Frances Slay Fran. They meet all the time and they hang out together. So we have this relationship with the supposed Democratic mayor of the city of St. Louis and a Republican chairman of the Board of Elections. And what do they have in common? Well, they have in common the privatization of our schools.
Right, and we know that Slay has lobbied for both charter schools and for vouchers.
Mm-hmm.
And was it a year ago? He was on stage up here at the UMSL with Blunt in a rally for vouchers.
That's right.
So they have that in common. Immediately after the school board election that Don and I won, we know that Ed Martin refused to certify the results.
That's right.
Initially. After taking a long, long time to count, they kept saying it was just a handful of votes, but it took them a long, long time to count them.
We're going to have to steal a whole lot of votes to win this election. Let me count again.
So he initially refused to certify and then tried to stop Don and me from taking office. He wrote a letter to the school board attorney saying, you cannot, and to Don and I both got a copies, saying you can't take office because I haven't certified the election,
right.
Is what he said in his letter.
So, and he was wrong about that. And here's what I'm seeing is this troubling, incompetent pattern. We have a guy who's out here, and this feels, it really feels, as the kids say, bucking up, okay? It really feels like this is a guy that's trying to assert himself and demand that people behave in a certain way that he wants them to behave as opposed to a member of a board. Because he's not there. This isn't Ed Martin's election commission,
Right.
If this is a board of elections. And what we're seeing out here is one particular individual asserting themselves in a threatening type of heavy-handed manner to have the decisions the way that he wants them to. And that's disconcerting and kind of scary, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Let me get to a caller or two here. Yes, you're on the wake-up call.
Good morning. How are you, Donna?
Good morning.
And Mr. Down. And I'm not going to give my name, but when I give the fact situation, you're definitely going to know who I am. And Irene will know who I am when she hears me talk. I retired from a job that did minority contracting, and I know how you feel, and I'll make this fast. Peach, I would file my taxes every year, and they would lose it. I made Peach. If any of you remember Peach, he filed it, and then they still said they didn't have it. But let me get to the school board issue. Expect tax problems now. It will come from the Jeff City, and you will have all kind of personal tax problems. But I'm a teacher that was non-retained. You did nothing wrong, Ms. Jones. How does it feel to be treated as though you did? Last year, I've been the teacher of the year, the star teacher. When the board did not have money to buy books, I went out and did fundraising, bought dictionaries for all three first grade classes. When I thought I wasn't teaching math enough, I went over to A.G. Edwards, brought in math experts.
Why are you hesitant to give your name?
Well, I'll give it Evelyn Timms. They'll know who I am.
Okay.
But then, let me tell you this. You heard me speak at the school board meeting. I believe in the school board. I said, someone's going to come talk to me about what's going on. No one ever came to talk to me. They will tell you, I have more parental requests for my class. I have the among the highest test scores in the district. My personal kids went to Country Day, Mary Institute, and Clayton. I wanted to create an environment for our kids. I thought, I've retired. What can I do to give back that I don't have to fight? I figured I have a lifetime teaching certificate. I'd go into the classroom, and that would be a non-controversial thing. I went into the classroom. They have more requests for my class. My attendance is so high, it's in the 90%, because you never know what's going to go on in that classroom, so you don't want to miss the day.
Okay, and I need you.
My question is, no one ever talked to me. It was alleged that I piloted open court. The open court representative said she would come to testify, how well I know it. They alleged I was not teaching open court. You have letters in your possession from the AmeriCorps person in my room. I had to be teaching open court. I had a student teacher that taught it every day.
Okay, and I'm going to have to let that be the
final
word.
And my question is, why did the school board pass something that had no fact base at all?
All right.
I'm not understanding, and thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. We're talking to Peter Downs and Donna Jones. This is, again, this is the wake-up call. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. We'll be back.
They won't let me have it, not even if no one else want it. And if I try to take it, they won't break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. Free estimates, over 16 years experience. 361-7127, 361-7127.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Washington. The Veterans Administration says it is against bills pending in Congress that would allow veterans to hire lawyers to help them through the maze of the VA benefits system. There have been three pieces of legislation introduced in Congress this year that would allow for the hiring of private attorneys by veterans seeking benefits. Right now, veterans can only hire a lawyer after they have gone through all the administrative steps, and that normally takes 3 to 5 years. But VA officials say that the current format is non-adversarial and relies on the good faith efforts of both parties, and it does work quite well. Allowing for the use of a lawyer will only increase costs for both the vet and the program. A number of veterans groups have come out in favor of the proposed change, while three are on record supporting the current setup. And Dateline Kabul. Has the United States boxed itself into a corner in Afghanistan? Insurgents loyal to the ousted Taliban are staging a violent comeback throughout the country, with over 200 people being killed and hundreds more injured since the recent round of fighting broke out the middle of last month. NATO has agreed to deploy some 9,000 troops in the country to help keep the peace. This is part of the American strategy to begin exiting the country this year. But neighboring Pakistan is doing very little to discourage Taliban fighters from using its country as a recruiting and staging area. This has caused consternation from both Washington and Afghani government officials, and now the relationship with Pakistan has cooled off. Pakistan is also upset over being pressured to cooperate into the dealings of nuclear scientist A.Q. Khan, who reportedly has sold nuclear weaponry secrets to numerous regimes. In order to get more cooperation in fighting the Taliban, the U.S. and NATO may have to start playing ball more with Pakistan. But if that happens, Afghanistan will object because it feels such a move will only encourage the insurgency and threaten its potential for a democratic form of government. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update, brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. Philip Person Roofing is a licensed and certified roofing contractor offering a 15-year warranty on a new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. Whether commercial or residential, you can finance any new roof with your Visa or MasterCard. For a free estimate, call Philip Person Roofing at 361-7127, 361-7127. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 920 WGNU. You'll enjoy hearing stories of people who are making the difference in the lives of others. Join me, Laurie Fulkerson, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hi, I'm John Womack. I'm the host of On the Table, a program about food and wine and enjoying yourself every Tuesday at noon. So tune in here on WGNU. 9:20 a.m.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I am talking to Donna Jones, school board member, and Peter Downs, school board member. Did I reverse that?
No, that's right.
Okay.
That's
right. All right. So, and we were talking on the way out about the energy and the efforts and the plan, the plan that is going on to go after the school board in terms of vouchers with Ed Martin as a right. commissioner, with Francis Slay as a supporter. But it doesn't stop there either.
It doesn't, but if I may, I'd like to just take 60 seconds mm-hmm. to respond to the caller. Because mm-hmm. the vote the school board took on not retaining teachers was at the very first meeting after the election, mm-hmm. when Don and I were brand new. It was only after that vote that Don and I found out that there appears to be no documentation or process behind these recommendations, and that
teachers not be retained.
That's right. That the teachers were not told of any complaints about their their behavior or how well or their job, and we felt that teachers should be told if Prince says there are any shortcomings, and be given a chance to correct whatever's wrong, and a chance to respond. If there's going to be a recommendation to not be retained, they should be told why, and a chance to respond to the board.
And also, given the shortage of teachers in this district, we should really be working very hard to make sure that this isn't a frivolous way to get rid of a teacher, because it's hard enough for us to get teachers in this district, period.
That's correct.
That's right. We want to make sure we don't want to be firing teachers who are good teachers, who just because you know the principal is maybe is jealous or the teacher is strong-willed mm-hmm. and has some arguments with the principal. I mean, to me, there's nothing wrong with having some arguments mm-hmm. if you're clarifying what needs to be done and what comes out of it is positive. But the last week, Donna, and Donna can speak more on this if you need to, she made a motion at our administrative meeting where we put items on the agenda. Mm-hmm. She made a motion to rehire all these teachers voted not to retain.
And you did that because why?
Because I thought that I made a mistake when we first came to the board and we voted, because the procedure seemed to be flawed. I think that every teacher needs an opportunity to talk about the situation and that they need to be able to bring their evidence before the board.
But Donna, if I can just interrupt for a second, we have a superintendent who, this is his job, to have a process in place. So he's firing teachers without letting the teachers know he's firing it on the word of somebody else. He's not looking for any kind of hearing to find out whether or not this is accurate or whether or not this is we can save this teacher's job or fix this system. That we have a superintendent that's doing that.
Well, that's the procedure that's currently in place. We had 32 teachers that I wanted to us to take a look at again, rehire, and that failed 3-3.
Well, who voted for what?
Myself, Peter, and Mr. Purdy voted to retain those teachers, and the other members, Archibald, Jackson, and Veronica voted to not to relook at that.
So Veronica said, you know, that she didn't have a problem with that. Did she articulate any kind of concern about the absence of procedure?
No, I don't believe that there was a lot of conversation about that.
Okay.
Well, there have been some conversation at other meetings, and Veronica has articulated concern about for the future to be a more proper procedure. She does not want to relook at issues that are settled at one point. So it's always, maybe we made a mistake this time, but let's look ahead to the future and make sure it doesn't.
But these are about teachers.
This is about teachers.
And this is about a district not having enough qualified teachers. So out of all the issues to revisit, one would think, well, okay, let's take a look at, since there wasn't any process here. But moving on to the other issue about vouchers.
Yes. I think this issue is affecting elections beyond the school board election.
Mm-hmm.
And there is another school board election next year, and then this may be part of preparation for that, too. But this August, there's a hotly contested election for the Democratic nominee for a state senator in the 4th District.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's Yaphet El-Amin, Boykins, Jeff Smith, Gambaro, and Kenny Jones,
yes. Mm-hmm. And, one of the candidates in that election is started two charter schools, Jeff Smith, and is being promoted by some national Democratic organizations for his commitment to education, and they're saying this is the progressive in the race, and they cite the education. They don't say it was charter schools.
No.
They don't say it was privatization.
No. They don't say it's Edison School. They don't say privatization. They don't say any of that.
Right. They just say his commitment to education. And he has been embraced by Francis Slay and the voucher crowd.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I guess this is really another one of those elections that we're going to have to really count the votes if we have a pro-voucher person on the Board of Elections Commission, and we have a pro-voucher mayor in the mayor's office. It's going to be another one of those elections that we're going to have to pay very close attention to and count the votes on that one, because the dots are being connected with this one singular issue that is running through our school district. So tell us about the meeting that's coming up tomorrow. People should be there because why?
School board meeting Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m., and people need to come out because we have a lot of important issues that we'll be voting on. We have a lot of contracts coming up, and people need to know what those issues are.
And Donna, the part of this also is part of the reasons why I asked both of you here today is to start banging the drum again for this, because the battle to get rid of you hasn't stopped. I mean, you've won the election, and the battle to get rid of you, the battle to tie your hands, the battle to make you to keep the public what the public wants happening on this school board, it hasn't stopped. Keep all that from happening.
Right, that's correct. And what I'm asking is that those 10,000 some voters that voted for us, come out and support us. Don't just vote for people. Come out and support your vote. And we need your support. The school, the kids need your support.
And the other piece of it also is that we elected a slate of people, okay? We elected a group of a voting majority on this board. And people need to come out and make certain that their majority that they voted for does the right thing and votes for the things that we want and that's not privatization and a number of other things, fiscal responsibility as well.
That's right. There are a lot of things at risk here right now. We want to make sure we got a good public education system.
Right, if I can just one quick issue, because we keep hearing still financial crisis. Mm-hmm. And so we put on the agenda, it's going to be voted on tomorrow, is a resolution to have the superintendent take another look at the organizational chart, at the administrators downtown, and see if there's any, if he can streamline that, if we can do with fewer administrators.
And
the response has been, oh, it's insulting to have the superintendent do that. How could you possibly think the superintendent would have even one too many administrators?
At $25,000 a month, I think that there are a lot of places we can find some extra money in the district. So we're going to talk about that, and people need to come out. And things are done because of our presence. And when the more of us come out and the more of us participate in these types of things, things happen the way that they should happen.
That's right.
So people need to be out here demanding that Craig Williams report to the community about where is the money. If this is a crisis, I want to know where every penny of this money is going. And for you to say, golly, I didn't know we had a $4 million debt. We now have to add that to the budget that you've already created. That's insane. That's absolutely insane. People need to be out of the school board meeting tomorrow at 7 o'clock at Car Lane. Thank
yes.
you both very much for joining
right,
me
thank
this
you.
Morning.
Thank you, Liz.
We'll be back. Stay with us.
I will never say that progress is being made.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Car Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Yes, it's him, and he died just after his safe house was bombed. That's what the military is saying today. Now that the autopsy on Abu Musab al-Zarqawi's remains have been completed.
The Federal Bureau of Investigation returned the results to us, and there wasn't a positive match.
Major General Bill Caldwell. As to what killed Zarqawi?
The abrasions, lacerations, and the fracture were likely due to flying debris or Zarqawi being thrown against a hard object by the force of the blast.
Army Colonel Steve Jones says Zarqawi died 52 minutes after the first strike on the house north of Baghdad. President Bush meets with his war cabinet today on the agenda.
To discuss the way forward in Iraq, to analyze the new government, to look carefully at what their blueprint for the future looks like, and to figure out how we can help.
One thing not to expect from the meetings, any announcements on troop withdrawals. Tropical storm Alberto is making a beeline for the Gulf Coast of Florida, due to make landfall sometime tomorrow. ABC's Donna Rapato is watching the system from Miami.
Forecasters at the National Hurricane Center here in Miami have issued a tropical storm warning for Florida's west coast. Many Florida natives are taking the storm in stride. This is, after all, the rainy season in the Sunshine State. People aren't worried about the heavy rain Alberto is dumping across the state. As one Florida woman put it, tropical storms are just rainstorms.
Alberto is the first named system of the 2005 hurricane season. More people are getting killed in many of the nation's big cities. ABC's Pierre Thomas has a look at the latest numbers from the FBI.
An ABC News review of crime statistics from the nation's 40 most populous cities shows a 4% increase in homicide last year. One of the biggest jumps in a decade, 396 more people were killed in 20 cities where homicides were up. Many cities had a double-digit surge, including Houston, Memphis, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Nashville, and Kansas City. Pierre Thomas, ABC News, Washington.
This is ABC News.
Welcome back to the Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place. Chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com, your complete chemotherapy guide.
Is your college student passing on a yearbook? A lot of people apparently are, we are being told by the people who make them, especially at big colleges, that
only about 600 students on an average buy copies of yearbooks in some of the larger university campuses. Schools are starting to turn to new methods to boost sales, such as stacking the price onto the tuition bill. Others are sending letters home to the parents or offering discounts. In Kansas State University, they supplement the yearbook with a DVD featuring video clips of sporting events and campus life to try and get students to want to buy one. A Philadelphia anti-discrimination agency may file a complaint against Geno Steaks. The Philadelphia cheesesteak joint has signs in its window saying, "This is America. When you order, speak in English." The owner says if people can't tell him what he wants, then he can't serve them. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom. This WGNU News update is brought to you by Sonic. Not just good, it's Sonic good. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. Organizers are still counting the last of the donations from the record-setting St. Louis Komen race for the cure. More than 64,000 people took part in Saturday's race in downtown St. Louis. That figure set a national record for the largest Komen race for the cure in history. The race raised more than $2 million for breast cancer research. In Jefferson County, a man is expected to face a little under 4 years in prison for kidnapping his daughter. Arlen Hill pleaded guilty Friday to several charges, including international parental kidnapping. Hill admits taking his then 17-month-old daughter in 2002 and taking her to New Zealand, where they were found last year. Sentencing is scheduled for August. The Circus Flora is back in town for its 20th year in St. Louis. David Balding, the director of the one-ring European-style circus, says this year's show will be great.
It's the best acts of the 20 years and their children. It's a circus in which a lot of people have grown up. Aurelia, who's now in three acts, the Flying Trapeze, the High Wire, the Seven-Person Pyramid, and her Cloud Swing with her Uncle Sasha, started with us 18 years ago at the age of three.
The theme of this year's Circus Flora is homage, which pays tribute to the early days of the circus in America. Circus Flora runs through June 25th at Grand Center. For more information, log on to www.circusflora.org. And that's a report of WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by Sonic. Not just good, it's Sonic good. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. I'm Peyton Colston with a report of WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Northbound 270 at 30 Gravois and 44. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to 79. Look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170. Slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 70 at Mid Rivers Mall and 79. All roadways reopened after earlier road maintenance operations had left lane closed. Westbound 64 at 5570. Look for heavy traffic due to an earlier accident near the King Bridge. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at 8th Street. And the Poplar Street Bridge, look for stop and go. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street Bridge. There's paving operations. Roadways reduced to three lanes. And traffic is slow near 4th Street. And eastbound 40 is also backed up a bit from paving operations on the Poplar Street Bridge. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Just how thirsty are you? Quench your thirst without ever leaving the cool air conditioning of your car with a huge size soft drink at McDonald's for just 89 cents. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly cloudy this morning, partly cloudy by this afternoon with a high in the upper 70s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high around 80. And Wednesday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. Currently, we have 61 degrees under cloudy skies at AM 920 WGNU. Lambert Field is reporting 61 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi.
This is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Carr Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGN. You please don't forget, the Wake Up Call is streamed at WGNU.net. And also it is iPodded at WhiteRoseSociety.org and archived. Just got an email from another iPod user telling me how much fun it is to iPod the Wake Up Call every day. So those are your options, folks. You can get on the net where WGNU is streamed 24/7 at WGNU.net. And also the Wake Up Call is archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, please go get your hour. Oh, my goodness, we have much to talk about. In the last hour, we talked about the critical issues that are confronting our school board, the astonishing issues that are confronting our school board and our children and our district. We are working very hard here in the city of St. Louis to remove Sodexo from our district. Raped, robbed, and pillaged are just three words to describe the experience of the privatization of our school. But you need to, one of the things I like to do on my show is not only to tell you of things that are occurring in the world in which you live, but also to give you a heads up. This is Heads Up Talk Radio, to let you know about what's going on, what else is going on out there that may be coming to a school in your neighborhood, a district in your state. apparently there is a new campaign that is being pushed by the Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood, that's CCFC. And their latest campaign provides the message, our students are not for sale. We need to talk about the campaign behind that mantra. Our students are not for sale. And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Boston the co-founder of a campaign for a commercial-free childhood, the associate director of the Media Center of the Judge Baker's Children's Center, and a psychologist at Harvard Medical School, Dr. Susan Lin. Dr. Lin, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm just fine. It's so nice to be back.
It's wonderful to have you here again. And it's good to know that you all are out there, too, because this is an amazing story. Talk to us about bus radio. What is that?
Yes, bus radio it would be unbelievable if it wasn't really happening. I mean, essentially, bus radio.
It sounds like almost something that somebody would have created to put on a sitcom.
Yes, exactly. Except it's just so not funny.
Yeah.
Bus Radio is a company that has decided that they want to market to children on school buses. Mm. That having children just be on school buses isn't enough, but now we need to market to children on school buses. And they're doing this by selling schools on the notion that the students need to be listening to the radio on the bus and that will prevent violence on the buses. So what they're doing is providing schools with free satellite radio equipment that will beam down one station designed particularly for the bus. The hitch is that this will include 8 minutes of commercials, 2 minutes of commercialized contests, and we'll also drive kids to the bus radio website, which will be filled with more advertising. And, you know, the kids can't get off the bus.
Well, let me ask you something, because I don't know everything, but
really?
But Dr. Lin, are all the kids, are all school buses equipped with seatbelts?
You know, I don't think they are, actually.
And
speaking
so,
of safety.
Yeah, so yes. We don't have seat belts on our school buses.
But we're going to have advertising.
We're going to have advertising and radio.
To prevent kids from getting hurt.
Yes.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes, it is. It's impressive.
You know? Is this something that exists anywhere yet, or are they just trying to get that door cracked open?
You know, the good news is that this is something that we actually can nip in the bud, and we really hope to do that. This is being piloted in Massachusetts, and I think a community in California, maybe in Illinois, but mostly in Massachusetts. And they did try it out last year, although at that time they had no advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't quite the real experience, but they're trying to get it into communities in Massachusetts. And so what CCFC has done in Massachusetts, we're based in Massachusetts, we're a national coalition, but we're based in Massachusetts. We sent a letter to every superintendent in Massachusetts, every superintendent of schools in Massachusetts, asking them please not to take this on. What bus radio is saying is that A, this will be a way of keeping the school buses calm, and B, that for larger school districts, there's some formula whereby they'll get some money based on the advertising.
Kind of like when they brought, potato chip machines and soda machines into our schools.
Right. Or else it's really a lot like Channel 1 in the schools, mm-hmm. which is the corporate-sponsored newscast,
mm-hmm.
you know, that where the commercials are there, the kids can't escape from them. And the thing is...
But there's a money-making component, too. Because Commercial 1, did they have a money-making component as well?
For the schools?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
So actually, that's the thing that's really strange about why schools are doing Channel 1.
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, what they're claiming is that it's free curriculum material.
So the position from those that want to bring bus radio to the kids, they would say that, well, you know, what's wrong with a few commercials?
Right. Well, what's wrong with a few commercials is that children are bombarded with marketing 24/7 these days. I mean, think about your child and think about when is your child's life free of advertising. And you can't think of advertising even just as commercials. Think of it as licensed products and, you know, product placement and promotions and contests. Think of all of that. When is your child's life free of commercials? And then think about the fact that marketing is a factor in so many of the problems facing youth today. It's not the sole cause of any of them. But, you know, we're complicated beings. You know, I mean, people are complicated. Nothing is the sole cause of anything that we do. But it's a factor in childhood obesity. It's a factor in eating disorders and precocious, irresponsible sexuality. It's a factor in youth violence. It's certainly a factor in underage drinking and smoking. It's a factor in family stress. It's a factor in the erosion of children's creative play, which doesn't sound like much until you realize that that's the foundation of learning and critical thinking. And also, what's also equally concerning is that it's really the major factor probably in the children's acquisition of materialistic values or the false notion that things will make us happy. And my colleagues who do research on happiness, what they're finding is that things don't make us happy. What makes us happy are relationships and job satisfaction, sort of the more ephemeral things in life. It's not brands. And who benefits from the notion that things will make us happy are corporations. Because if you believe that things will make you happy, what do? You buy a thing. Mm-hmm. And what happens? It doesn't make you happy. Mm-hmm. And so then what do?
And there's also another scarier level of or additionally scary anyway, level of penetration that bus radio can make. Bus radio is not monitored by the FCC.
Yes, and that's the other thing that's very troubling. And what that means is that bus radio can be paid to promote songs.
Things that are illegal on a Clear Channel. You can't pay somebody to play a song.
Yes,
but here you can.
Yes. That's exactly right. We can do that to our children, which will really make the whole thing a commercial, basically.
It's
the whole thing will be advertising. And they can hire celebrity disc jockeys who will presumably be promoting, you know, whatever.
And presumably will be paid to promote whatever.
Exactly. And the other thing that is actually quite disturbing is that once CCFC and some other advocacy groups started publicizing what's going on with Bus Radio made the corporate part of their website, it's not open to the public anymore. You have to have a password to get into it. So here they want to sell, you know, they want to get into public schools, but they're not making their process public anymore. I mean, I don't blame them because what they were doing is really sleazy. I mean, they were talking about children as a captive audience. You know, they're trying to sell, you know, the schools on this will promote safety, and they're trying, and what they're talking to the corporations about is a captive audience. They just can't get off the bus.
This is a marketer's dream.
It is. Absolutely.
I don't think that there's any element of marketing that can't be that is missed in this plan for bus radio.
Right. No, nothing. Well, screens. I guess that's the last one, and I assume we'll have bus television eventually.
And the other piece of it also is the contest piece of it. Just think how you can get kids wrapped up in the commercialization of bus radio with contests for a captive audience.
Yes, and they did that, I think, with the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, that film. That's what they did in the pilot. Yeah, they can, and kids love contests.
Well, and talk to us, Dr. Lynn, about, I guess, how impressionable kids are. We hear that all the time, but is it easier to market to a 7-year-old than it is to a 37-year-old? And if so, why?
Of course it is. And also think how easy it is to market to a 37-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, think of how susceptible all of us are.
There are Americans out there that think that spam is hamburger, thanks to commercials.
Right.
And marketing.
Right. And all sorts of other things. I mean, think about any woman over 30 and how she feels about getting older, and where does that come from?
Mm-hmm.
So adults are vulnerable, and children are so much more vulnerable.
And are we seeing something that we've never seen before in terms of the generations that are coming up? And because back in the 50s, there wasn't the same. There's always been marketing, but there hasn't been the same type of intensity, the specificity of the marketing, the sophistication of the marketing. We're seeing new generations, aren't we?
Yes, I mean, comparing the marketing of yesteryear to the marketing of today is like comparing a BB gun to a smart bomb.
Mm.
I mean, these days, it's honed by child psychologists, it's made possible by unbelievable technology, and it's brought to us by billions and billions and billions of dollars. In 1983, companies were spending about $100 million annually marketing to kids, mostly on television, and now they're spending about $15 billion in the United States, and it's probably more than that at this point.
What are some of the worst results of this type of marketing?
Do you mean the worst kind?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I think marketing in schools, you know, has to be way up there with the worst of it. Of all places in children's lives, certainly schools should be commercial-free. You can't teach critical thinking if you're bombarding kids with marketing. I mean, if your school is getting money from Coke or from McDonald's, how critical can you be of those companies if you're depending on them? You know, I mean, so I think that marketing in churches, which is what happened with the Disney movie, the Narnia film that just came out in the fall. I mean, I think that's incredible.
They marketed in churches?
Yes. Yes. That was a very brilliant and diabolical plan by Disney, and they did it really well. They had contests for ministers about who could give the best sermon using Narnia.
Oh my!
A minister told me that churches were encouraged to close services on Sunday and take everybody to the movies.
And they did.
Some of them probably did.
Wow.
And I know that my colleague was walking by a church in Cambridge, you know, that had Aslan is coming. Aslan's a character from, you know, the Narnia series. I mean, and I think that what ministers were feeling is that there's so much violence and stuff out there that feels to them to be really un-Christian, that they thought that, well, this will have good values, but they weren't thinking about the marketing. They weren't thinking about the commercialism, which is certainly antithetical to any kind of spirituality.
That is so, like you said, diabolical.
And there are 6 or 7 more Narnia films coming.
It must have worked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It did really well. And we, I mean, that's one. We had trouble.
How do you articulate the opposition to that?
Well, I mean, for one thing, that every time a church supported Narnia, they were also supporting all the products that were going along with Narnia.
But
I mean, it is, you know, is, I forget if it was Burger King or McDonald's, but is a fast food restaurant, you know, the way to God? I mean, you know.
And
the acquisition of all those products.
But was that even, did you bring that to churches, or did you attempt to have a campaign against that?
We did. It was not one of our more successful ones. We had a really hard time. Originally, what we wanted to do was to get churches to actually sign something saying that they would not promote the movie. And we did get the United Church of Christ to sign on and the Women's Division of the United Methodist Organization and a couple of individual clergy to sign on, but we could not get a lot of clergy to sign on. I think.
How did you feel how did you feel and what did you think when you were unable to penetrate that? Was it like, now there's this whole new place that we're going to have to figure out campaigns of to get them to educate them through this process?
Yes, and I actually think that the mainstream clergy really should be taking on commercialism.
Mm.
I mean, in all of the religions or whatever your spiritual leanings. I mean, marketing is antithetical to spiritual values.
Because
it harms them.
And explain that.
Well, it first of all, it puts people's faith in not just the material world, but the commercial work world.
Mm.
That's where they rely on their identity. That's where they rely on their sense of satisfaction. For another thing, when kids are so bombarded with all of this commercialism, they have no time to think. They have no time to reflect. You know, and reflecting, you know, and thinking is, I mean, that's a part of all religions. There's no silence anymore in children's lives.
Mm.
They're just constantly bombarded.
How are we coming on the battle of the commercialization and connecting that to obesity? Are people starting to connect to that?
That's someplace where we are making some progress, at least on the surface. I mean, you know, as you probably know, Bill Clinton negotiated a deal with Coke and Pepsi that they wouldn't be marketing soda in schools anymore.
Is your organization satisfied with that?
No, not at all. But, no, what I was going to say is what's interesting about that is not so much the details of the deal, because, in fact, while they're saying they're not going to market soda, A, it's not enforceable because it's self-regulation, and B, they're not talking about energy drinks. The day after that, that announcement was made, I read an article saying that soda sales are down.
Exactly.
And drink sales are up.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So no, you know, of course not. And the other thing is that what was going on behind the scenes of that deal is that a bunch of public advocacy lawyers were negotiating with Coke and Pepsi and coming close to actually a similar deal. And without telling them, Coke and Pepsi jumped ship and did this deal with Bill Clinton, which made them look so much better than if they had been forced to do this, you know, by public advocacy lawyers. So, you know, they look good. It looks good. I don't think it's much.
Mm. And where can people find out more information?
Our website is commercialfreechildhood.org.
Mm-hmm.
I really suggest that, you know, if you're interested in this at all, that people take a look at our website and also sign on to get our newsletter and our email actions, because we do take an activist approach to this issue. We really see this as an issue of social justice, and that what we're really talking about are rights and freedoms, the rights of children to grow up, the freedom for parents to raise them without being undermined by commercial interests.
Absolutely.
It shouldn't be happening. And so we do look at this as a societal issue and feel that it needs to be addressed that way. And so we take an activist approach. And we actually just had quite an amazing success. Hasbro was going to put out these dolls for 6 to 9-year-olds in September, the Pussycat Dolls, which are based on the burlesque troupe turned singing group, the Pussycat Dolls. They're based on a real burlesque troupe turned singing group whose hit song, you know, Don't Ya, had the lyrics, don't you think, don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me? Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like me? They were making dolls for 6 to 9-year-olds based on these real, you know, women. And we started an email campaign, and 3 days later, we did it with Dads and Daughters, which is an advocacy group, which is one of our member organizations. And 3 days later, Hasbro called and said they were pulling the doll.
Outstanding.
And that we can, I mean, this is, we need to stop this on a legislative level, but we can win individual battles by banding together.
Absolutely.
We can stop bus radio, and I really encourage people to call their school districts and find out, you know,
if they're considering that.
If they're considering it, and to tell them about what the problems are. And we have all sorts of information about bus radio on our website.
And let us take a break here.
Okay.
We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. I'm talking to Dr. Susan Lynn, co-founder of the Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood. Stay with us.
Piece of candy. Grandma's hand picks me up each time I fell. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy, she said. Matty, don't you whip that boy. What you want to spank him for?
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sours traffic and weather. Sours traffic is sponsored by Gutter Monster from St. Clair. Westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170. Look for normal traffic in both directions. 170 at Page and Olive. The road construction going on. Eastbound 40 at 141 in Mason. Look for traffic to be flowing freely. Southbound 270 at Page and Olive. Look for an accident that's been cleared to the shoulder. There's no problems to report there. Westbound 5570 on the Poplar Street Bridge. The roadway's reduced to three lanes as traffic slows near 4th Street for paving operations. Eastbound 40 on Poplar Street Bridge. Right lane is closed also for paving operations going on there. Market Street Bridge over 40 is closed due to demolition work. Use Jefferson Boulevard and the Grand as alternate west routes there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Gutter Monster from St. Clair. Gutter Monster, gutter protection that does more than just keep leaves out. Call 1-800-444-1884 and save 20%. Gutter Monster from St. Clair, bringing your home the very best for over 120 years. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy throughout the day with a high in the upper 70s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high around 80, and Wednesday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. Currently, we have 61 degrees and cloudy conditions. Lambert Field is reporting 62. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your WGNU news, weather, and traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Carr Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
George! George, what are you doing in the backyard? And who dug all these tunnels? And why is there a giant crane?
I'm building a roller coaster just like the new Voyage at Holiday World. It has five tunnels and is 1.2 miles long.
But, George...
Yeah, and the first drop is 154 feet.
This is ridiculous. You said 1.2 miles?
Yeah, I got it covered.
But the Voyage is famous for great airtime, George. Weightless airtime.
Yeah, that's where the giant crane comes
in. Oh, George, you're impossible. I'm getting the kids and we're going to Holiday World and Splash and Safari to ride the real Voyage.
There's never been a greater value for your family than Holiday World and Splash and Safari, with free unlimited soft drinks, free parking, even free sunscreen. And for smaller crowd sizes, visit us during the months of May or June.
George, we're home. George, why are you swinging on that giant crane? George!
For a free Indiana Play Pack coupon book, visit enjoyindiana.com. That's enjoyindiana.com. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Yo, caller, away!
Folks, that's the Lone Ranger. Catch him weekdays at 5 p.m. here on WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I got your hard road to choose.
I can't turn back. My heart is fixed, my mind's made up. I'll never stop in my faith.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am talking to Dr. Susan Lin. She's the co-founder of Campaign for Commercial Free Childhood. She's also the associate director of the Media Center of the Judge Baker's Children's Center and a psychologist at Harvard Med School. She is joining us from Boston. We're talking about bus radio and how the CCFC is urging schools to tune it out. Dr. Lin, the letter that you sent to all 346 of the superintendents in Massachusetts, I realize that this went out not too long ago, but have you gotten any response from them?
We have actually got, we've been getting to get response. I mean, it really did just go out last week.
Right.
I know that it was forwarded to the community newspaper in one of the communities. We've heard back from a couple of school communities, and also we also sent an email to our members in Massachusetts, asking them to contact the school board as well. So we've been hearing back from them as well.
And again, when
there are communities that actually have stopped this, Mansfield, Massachusetts, there was such an outcry that they've actually stopped it.
And for the similar types of, was that a result of your campaign, or was it something that they did on their
own?
That
was actually something they did on their own.
And what there were
and
there,
that gave us a lot. That gave us a lot of encouragement.
And were there reasons similar to the reasons that you're articulating?
Absolutely.
So some of the other campaigns, I encourage people to go to your website. Some of the other campaigns that you have engaged in, Baby First TV, the first channel for infants and toddlers.
Yes.
Again, the word diabolical comes to mind.
Yes, absolutely diabolical, and we have been fighting the good fight around babies and television for a while now, and we filed a Federal Trade Commission complaint about a month and a half ago against Baby Einstein and Brainy Baby for false and deceptive advertising. And that's something that parents really, really need to know.
There's absolutely
no evidence, none, that screen time is beneficial to babies, and there's starting to be evidence that it's maybe harmful.
I don't know. I think we're being a little unfair to the FCC. After all, they did...
FTC.
I'm sorry, the FTC. After all, we were protected from Janet Jackson's breasts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, that they
are... But even that, by the way, was that was because of there was an outcry.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really interesting, I think. And I don't know, maybe you won't agree about this, but... What happened with that is that Focus on the Family, which you know is this very right-wing organization, got 60,000 people to call the FCC. I think that
look, I am not. I would much rather for them to go after Brainy Baby than Janet Jackson's breasts.
Yeah, I think we need to go after it. What I think about that is that progressives should have been calling and saying, you know, to have this man ripping this woman's breast.
That was the issue.
Right.
That was
exactly.
The issue.
That was the issue.
Okay, he ripped
he
it off.
Right?
Yes, he did. Yes,
yes.
He did. He
yes.
Absolutely
did. But to have a man, and by the way, a white man. And
there
a
you go.
Right.
There you go.
Okay.
There
to
you
have
go.
That happen, I think we should have been calling, progressives, I mean, those are my politics, that we should have been calling and saying that was obscene. And you know what? Those beer commercials with the talking animals were also obscene. All those commercials were also obscene.
Because when you
we should have extended it. We should have, but
when
that
you,
was
when you break it down to it, what they're telling us is, in fact, that a female breast is obscene. That's one thing that they're telling us. They didn't tell us that the ripping of the clothing off by a white man to a black woman.
Yes.
That's not the problem.
Right, right. That's exactly yes. That's exactly right. And I think that it's hard for people with liberal or progressive politics to take on the issue of sex in the media, because it gets all mixed up with sex education in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I personally, this is my opinion, I believe that there, you know, we should have sex education in the schools. But even if you don't believe in sex education in the schools, at least you know that the people doing it, they aren't doing it for personal gain. They're doing it with the children's best interest at heart. Sex that kids see on the media, or that's being marketed to them, it's not real sex. It's not honest sex. It's sex as violence. It's sex as commodity.
And for profit.
And for profit. It's commercialized sex. It's not the same thing. So I think we should have taken that on. And I think that we should have said, and by the way, all those horrible commercials that year were you know, just as obscene.
And the other piece of this is I want to ask you about when going back to the Baby First channel for infants and toddlers. There's a lot of scary stats out there that says that it's not only is this not a good idea, but exposing our children to a lot of television at an early age is a very, very bad idea.
It's, you know, that we're starting to get more evidence about that. There are studies starting to come out suggesting that babies watching television, that's linked to interfering with cognitive development, with language development, with regular sleep patterns, with time spent in creative play, mm-hmm. which, as I said, is the foundation of learning, and also time spent interacting with parents doing other things. It's not good for kids, and we know that, you know, kids consume, this isn't the exact number, but something like 167 extra calories an hour while they watch television.
Mm-hmm.
The risks of being obese go up for every hour that preschool children watch television, and go up even more if they have a TV in their room. And what I thought was terribly disturbing is the Kaiser Family Foundation issued a report, I think last week, saying that 19% of children, babies under the age of one, have a television in their bedroom.
Oh, no!
Yes, and the reason, the primary reason that parents do that is so they can watch their own television programs. And the second reason is so they can get things done around the house.
That parents can get things done around the house.
That parents can get things done around the house. And I read that report, and my response was, we have a major public health crisis in this country. But there was no outcry, except for us, of course, and a few other people and organizations around the country. But there wasn't a major public health outcry. We have, you know, public health organizations partnering with Sesame Workshop to promote videos for babies.
Sesame as in Sesame Street?
Sesame as in Sesame Street.
We have to take a break. I'm talking to Dr. Susan Lynn. She's the co-founder of the Campaign for Commercial-Free Childhood. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. Stay with us.
Them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Moscow. Russian officials are expressing some concern over the rising number of young aggressive radical nationalists. There have been a number of physical attacks against people of other nationalities, which has resulted in some of the victims dying. The cities of St. Petersburg, Moscow, and Voroneza are said to be the most hostile towards immigrants from Africa, Latin America, and Central Asia. Hate groups rose out of the nationalist movement of the 90s when various factions were allowed to register as legitimate political entities. Russian sociologists say the penchant for xenophobia comes from a Russian society that is basically rural and suspicious of strangers. The problem is the population of Russia is dropping by nearly 1 million people a year, and birth rates have been falling for over a decade. This means the country has had to rely more and more on immigrants in order to have a viable workforce. And Dateline Washington. The former director of FEMA, Michael Brown, is saying that just days before he resigned his position with that agency last year, he got an email from someone inside the Bush administration saying that the president was glad the brunt of the fallout over how the Katrina situation was mishandled was not being directed at his administration. Brown refused to say who it was that sent him the correspondence, but this person said he attended a cabinet meeting where it was mentioned that the press was really beating up on Mike Brown. The president then chimed in by saying, I'd rather they beat up on him than on me or Mike Chertoff. The White House says this is just an old rumor that came up months ago and there's nothing to be said about it. But the designation on the email was EOP.gov, which indicates it came from the executive office of the president. Brown then went on to say that FEMA is still no more prepared for the 2006 hurricane season than it was before because Chertoff refuses to acknowledge he has any problems that need fixing. This is your wake-up call global news update. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Whiteman Air Force Base will host a two-day air show on Saturday and Sunday. Wings Over Whiteman is free and open to the public. The U.S. Army Parachute Team, Golden Knights, and the Lima Lima T-34 flight team will headline this year's event. Updates on the show will be posted on the website whiteman.af.mil. For more information, call 660-687-6124. News to you from WGNU.
This is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com, and I'm just thrilled to be able to tell you that an average of 90 people who met on eHarmony.com get married every single day. 90 people every day.
When I first met him, I knew.
I knew she was someone I wanted to spend the rest of my life with.
At eHarmony.com, every match you receive has been carefully selected to be compatible with you based on 29 dimensions crucial for a thriving long-term relationship.
eHarmony matches you at a deeper level. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Dating sites match on a picture and a paragraph. At eHarmony, we match you at the deepest levels, and it simply works to the tune of 90 people who fall in love and get married every single day. So if you're looking for the love of your life, log on to eHarmony.com. Get your compatibility profile, a $50 value, free. eHarmony.com.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Car Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown, and this morning we're talking to Dr. Susan Lynn, co-founder of Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood. She's also the associate director of the Media Center of the Judge Baker's Children's Center and a psychologist at Harvard Medical School. She's joining us from Boston. And Dr. Lynn, I want to get back to this Baby First channel, because it's compelling. It's awful and compelling. What is it that they want to do? What is Baby First TV?
I've actually seen Baby First TV. We looked at some programming. Most of Baby First TV would be perfectly innocuous, possibly pleasant for older children. I mean, that's kind of interesting, but it's not for babies. I mean, what is, again, diabolical Baby First TV? And what is dishonest is that they're promoting it as educational for babies when we know that that's not good for them. I think that ultimately what they're going to do is, and they haven't done this yet, but they're a for-profit organization. I think that what they're likely to do is start licensing some of their characters. Mm-hmm. They have not done it yet.
And they use a phrase, developmentally appropriate.
That's like an oxymoron for babies. Developmentally appropriate for television for babies is it's not possible. Nobody knows that that even exists. And we know that in some ways it doesn't exist because it takes babies away from what they should be doing.
And
I think the problem is that, that what's happening that's troubling is that parents are quite dependent on media now. And that raises for babysitting. I mean, that's essentially what the Kaiser Report said. And that's troubling. I mean, I think we have a generation of parents who are more stressed than ever before and need help. The cry, I think that, that report was a cry for help.
What does the American Academy of Pediatrics recommend in terms of screen time for infants?
And that's, yes, thank you for reminding me. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that children under the age of two be kept away from screens.
Period.
Yes, because of their rapid brain development. I mean, their brains are growing and developing more rapidly than any other times in their lives. They're hardwiring connections. And originally, in 1999, they made that recommendation because there was no research to show that it was educational. We didn't know what the effects were going to be. And now what's happening is there's starting to be research that's really showing that that recommendation was prescient, actually.
Because Baby First TV is marketing television for infants as young as 6 months.
As young as 6 months. And that, of course, means that younger babies will even be put in front of it. And they're saying that it's educational. And they've got this whole color coding system, you know, talking about if you want your baby to develop this skill or, you know, this or that, you can use their color coding system. But there's no evidence that any of those programs actually do any of the things that they say they're doing.
Is this similar to the research that the cigarette manufacturers did and the beer manufacturers have done in terms of creating product loyalty, creating little candy packages of cigarettes and getting brand loyalty there?
Yes.
Is that kind of what we're seeing here?
Yes, and it's even, I mean, in some ways it's even more concerning, I think. I mean, I'm not supporting in any way the candy cigarettes and, you know, the beer bottle for kids and things like that. That's very concerning. But what this does, what they're promoting is television and screen time in and of itself.
Mm.
And we have to ask ourselves, do we want to raise a generation of children that's either anxious or bored away from a screen? Because what's happening is parents are being encouraged to have babies turn to screens for stimulation and soothing. And what happens is that the babies aren't going to learn how to soothe themselves, which is just such an important skill for getting through life, where they're not going to learn how to turn to their own resources to make life interesting, which is what happens on a very basic level when a baby, you know, has a chance to run his or her hand over a carpet or to bat at a ball or to look around and see what's happening in the world. But the flickering screen is very compelling for babies.
And in terms
after about 6 months, I mean, it takes their interest, but there's no evidence, none, that it's educational.
And it's not just babies. I mean, all of our children are spending way too much time in front of television screens.
Yes, and it's not just television. It's also, I mean, we can't even think of it as just television anymore.
Well, that means you're showing my age, I guess, because you're absolutely
right.
Well,
you know, I can show mine too, but I've learned this. It's all merging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, televisions, computers, cell phones, iPods, it's all becoming the same thing. It's all really, it's these screens. And that's exactly where the marketing and media industry wants children, because that's where they're going to make their money. And we know that it's not good for them.
And part of the slickness of the campaign, particularly for the infants, is it's trying to alleviate any last remaining guilt that a parent has of putting their child in front of a television screen.
That's right. That's exactly right. And the other thing the Kaiser study showed is that, you know, parents who think that TV is educational are more likely to put their babies in front of it.
Mm.
And so, you know, I sympathize with parents today. I really do. I really think it's harder to be a parent now than ever. But putting your baby in front of a screen is not the solution, and it's going to cause you more problems later on, because you're going to have a child who doesn't know how to amuse himself or herself independently.
And
that's going to be a real problem for parents. I think parents need a lot of help, and I really applaud the American Academy of Pediatrics for backing up, you know, what they said in 1999. They're standing behind that statement, and I applaud them for doing that.
And again, people can get to your website how?
Commercialfreechildhood.org.
And I guess the bottom line is that we can make a whole lot more changes than we think we can. All we have to do is get involved.
Yes. We have to get involved, and we can't do it alone. We have to do it together.
Very good. Dr. Susan Lynn, thank you so much.
Thank you. I always enjoy talking with you.
Thank you. Me too. Take
okay.
care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We'll be back with Mondays at 9. Stay with me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers.
Power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how
can this matter? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. No, he wasn't killed in the blast, but he didn't live long afterward. That's what the U.S. military says now that the autopsy on Abu Musab al-Zarqawi has been completed. ABC's Miguel Marquez with details from Baghdad.
U.S. medics worked on him for about 24 minutes. They say his breathing was shallow and labored, that he breathed out very heavily, that they could feel his pulse going. Medics knew pretty much that he was going to die. There was no injuries on the outside of him, but certainly his insides had been badly injured by the blast.
The autopsy shows Zarqawi, the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq, survived for less than an hour after his safe house was bombed near Baghdad. U.S. forces raided a house northeast of Baghdad. 9 people were killed. It was in the same area where Zarqawi was killed. President Bush and his war cabinet talk about the future of Iraq, meeting today at Camp David. ABC's Ann Compton is near the presidential retreat.
Far from the distraction of their offices, the president's war cabinet gathers here for 2 days in an effort to shift the U.S. impact in Iraq from military enforcement to civilian nation building. Military commanders will brief on troop deployment. Cabinet secretaries will report on what aid and advice they can provide to the newly completed Iraqi cabinet.
The White House says no announcements on troop withdrawals are expected. Tropical storm Alberto is gaining strength in the Gulf of Mexico, due to make landfall along the Florida coast sometime tomorrow. ABC's Chris Cuomo is waiting it out in North Reddington Beach.
Florida could use some rain. In areas, they're down 8 to 12 inches of seasonal downpour. But nobody wanted to see the water table improve this way, in the form of tropical storm Alberto, which is dumping its heaviest rains right now. Now, locals around here say it takes a Category 3 hurricane or worse to get them worried. But overnight reports that Alberto is getting organized and gaining strength are unsettling.
Alberto is the first named storm of the 2006 hurricane season. The Dow is up 32 points, NASDAQ down a fraction. This is ABC News.
Welcome back to the Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place. Chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com. Your complete chemotherapy guide.
The FBI says life in many of the nation's larger cities isn't as safe as it used to be.
In one of the biggest jumps in a decade, 396 more people were killed in the 20 cities where homicides were up. Many cities had double-digit surges, including Houston, Memphis, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Nashville. In Kansas City, homicides spiked 40%.
ABC's Pierre Thomas at the Justice Department. No, she didn't win a Tony. She wasn't even nominated, but actress Julia Roberts won Broadway's Hearts at last night's Tony Awards. Here's what she had to say just before handing out the award for Best Actor in a Play.
I just want to take this opportunity to say that you people are insanely talented people.
Roberts is starring in the play 3 Days of Rain, which has, for the most part, gotten lackluster reviews. The big winners last night, The Boys, the play The History Boys, and the musical Jersey Boys, based on the lives of pop group Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
This WGNU news update is brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, the local NAACP is applauding the actions taken by the Maplewood Police Department against officers involved in a beating. Television footage showed 3 Maplewood officers and 1 St. Louis City officer kicking and striking Edmund Burns after a chase in January. 1 Maplewood officer has been fired, another suspended, and the third demoted. In other news, a group of disability advocates want to be able to work and not lose their health benefits. Disabled workers joined the state lawmakers Friday in downtown St. Louis, urging Missouri Governor Matt Blunt to call a special session to help disabled Missourians return to work and keep their health care and personal assistance services. Legislation reforming Medicaid for workers with disabilities received bipartisan support in the 2006 regular session but did not get final approval. Advocates are also asking for the special session to run concurrently with the September veto session so as not to cost more money. And finally, the only man in St. Louis to ever win a Nobel Prize will be honored by St. Louis University. The university's new state-of-the-art medical research facility will be named after Dr. Edward Doisy, who was a longtime member of the SLU faculty. Doisy won the Nobel Prize in 1943 for discovering the chemical nature of vitamin K. His family made a $30 million donation to help with the building of the research center. The new building will house research centers focusing on cancer, liver disease, heart and lung disease, aging, and brain disease and biodefense vaccine development. That report of WGNU News was brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic is not just good, it's Sonic good. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Gateway Clean Air Program. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, construction has left lane closed on the exit ramp in both directions. I-70 at Page and Olive, look for road construction there. Left lane's closed. Southbound can expect delays approaching the construction zone. Westbound 5570 at the PSB, paving operations roadways reduced to 3 lanes and slow from near 4th Street. Eastbound 40 at Poplar Street Bridge, right lane's closed and traffic slows through the construction zone. Market Street Bridge over 40 is closed due to demolition work. And Kings Highway at Natural Bridge, there's a report of an accident. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Gateway Clean Air Program. The Gateway Clean Air Program, educating motorists on the benefits of the following the manufacturer's suggested maintenance schedules, gatewaycleanair.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, partly cloudy skies this morning, becoming partly cloudy throughout the day with a high in the upper 70s. This evening, partly cloudy, low in the upper 50s. Tuesday, partly cloudy, high around 80. And Wednesday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 61 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 61 as well. Under cloudy conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Mondays at 9. This up next, we'll take another look at your news and your weather in the top of the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Carr Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Mondays at 9. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget that WGNU is streamed. That's right. All you have to do is go to WGNU.net, and you can catch us live on the World Wide Web. And also, the wake-up call is archived every single hour of every single show, archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, go get your hour. You can also iPod. We're iPodded as well, so get your iPod. I got another email this morning from someone who is faithfully iPodding the wake up call. You need to join the faithful. Get to WhiteRoseSociety.org and download iPod the Liz Brown and the wake up call. Last week, All right. Was it last week? Not too long ago. The world got the news that Kenny Boy had been convicted. And while I don't believe that news coverage of the trial was all of that extensive, comparatively speaking, I mean, this nation was obsessed with O.J. So we've seen what true focus on, we've seen what razor or laser beam focus on a legal issue is about. It wasn't that type of fixation with what happened with Kenny Boy, at least not outside of one or two states. But nevertheless, even though, despite that, Kenny Boy Lay was convicted. And not only was there not the coverage that should have accompanied this story, but there was also a missing character in the assessment, the trial watching, the musing, the speculation about how it was going to turn out and who were the players in this crime. And the name that was missing from this was not Kenny Boy, but Boy George. Kind of like where's George in this? I mean, didn't George give him the name Kenny Boy? And whenever Boy George confers such nomenclatures, it's always as a result of a past, an intimate past with people. I mean, Carl Rove isn't called Turd Blossom because he met him yesterday. That's a whole lot of years of stink. So we need to do what the larger media has failed to do. We need to talk about, discuss, analyze, break it down so it stays forever broke. We need to have that discussion this morning of we should have in our mental Rolodex is all of the factors of the relationship between Kenny Boy and Boy George. And to facilitate that conversation for this week's edition of Mondays at 9, I have joining me from Sonoma, California, a psychotherapist and columnist at Op-Ed News, Alan Rowland. Alan, good morning.
Yes.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
Very good. There's a connection between Boy George and Kenny Boy.
Of course there is.
Yeah, let's go back to the beginning.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. But first of all, let's talk about hypocrisy. Andrew God had a great quote. The true hypocrite is the one who ceases to perceive his or her deception, the one who lies with sincerity. Well, that's exactly who our commander-in-chief president is, a true hypocrite, because he had such an incredible ongoing relationship with Kim Lay, and yet he totally distanced himself. Now, let me just say, the Bush family consistently acted, this is according to Robert Scheer, consistently acted to put Enron and its longtime CEO, Kim Lay, into a position to rip off investors and taxpayers. And, of course, your question is, why did the media basically ignore this? Because mainly the media is going along with this mirage.
And when you say the Bush family, who are we talking about, and how did they consistently act?
Well, let's put it this way. After he and his company became top supporters, it's all about money. It's always, Liz, about following the money. They eventually gave $3 million to various Bush political campaigns, and that's when the doors all opened for them. Money opened the doors, and that's exactly how it all started. And it started by, in particular, once Bush got rid of the key energy and industry regulations, Lay was made man, and Enron's fortune soared. The program of corporate welfare led Lay to dub the first President Bush the energy president. in a column supporting his reelection because just 6 months after George Bush became president, he directed the development of a new energy strategy which in effect compelled the local utility companies to carry in-run electricity on their wires. It was, quote, the most ambitious and sweeping energy plan ever proposed. And guess who also is involved in this? We're missing one person. And you've got to talk about this. Dick Cheney. He visited Dick Cheney six times during those famous energy meetings, which no one ever has had access to. So you've got to understand this whole thing.
Who was Ken Lay before he was given access to George Bush and George Bush 1 and George Boy George?
Nothing. Literally. It was only money that opened these doors for him. He literally, you've got to understand two things here, very quickly, is that in this Bush administration, you can't call it a Bush administration. You have to call it a Cheney administration. Cheney is the mastermind. It's all about oil and energy. Cheney is the one that's making the decisions. Bush is the cheerleader. Rumsfeld is the military arm of this. And Condi Rice is the velvet glove. John Bolton is the stooge in the UN. This is how this operation works. It's really a Cheney-Rumsfeld-run government. Bush, once again, is the cheerleader. Lay basically was insignificant before he came on the scene, but he had the money, and that's what opened the door for him.
So let's talk about the regulations that Bush 1 got rid of. How did he pave the way regulation-wise?
Okay, so basically, well, let me put it this way. The close connections between Bush and Lay began when they both worked on the 1992 Bush father's presidential reelection campaign. In fact, a long paper trail of their friendly and collaborative correspondence had been made public through the Freedom of Information Act. And here's a note, by the way. Dear Ken, one of the sad things about old friends is that they seem to be getting older, just like you. Wrote by then Texas Governor George Bush in 1997. It goes back that far. Thank goodness you have such a young, beautiful wife. And Lay's typed responses, some are handwritten. He sometimes crossed out Bush's formal titles to scrawl a friendly George, emphasizing their personal history before he urged the governor to, for example, help Enron secure foreign energy contracts with regimes in Romania and Yugoslavia, or for so-called tort reform designed to protect corporations from lawsuits. Okay, typical was Bush's role in Enron's lobbying Pennsylvania governor to permit Enron to enter the state's energy market. As Lay wrote in the letter dated October 7th, this is all from the Freedom Act, I very much appreciate your call to Governor Tom Ridge a few days ago. I am certain that will have a positive effect on the way he and others in Pennsylvania view our proposal. So after the Enron crash, Bush attempted to distance himself from the Bush pioneer, who had spent, remember, pioneers have to give at least $2 million for the Bush campaign, who had spent more than $2 million in Enron funds George Bush's way, as well as supplying him with an Enron company jet on at least 8 occasions.
And what did Bush say after scandal broke?
I have not met with him personally, Bush said after the scandal broke. This is all about hypocrisy, lying with sincerity. It is the hallmark of this administration. And it was Lay who submitted a key memo opposing price caps in response to the energy crisis in California that Enron helped engineer. So this is all because of money. Once again, money was the key factor here. All you have to do with this administration is follow the money. Remember now, we have something like $12 billion missing in Iraq. Nobody basically has found out either. Go ahead.
So who is Curtis Hebert?
Okay, he's he was the Federal Regulatory Commission chairman.
Mm-hmm.
And Lay was also instrumental in the abrupt dismissal of Curtis Herbert, Jr.
How does that help him?
Well, Well, it helped him because it conveniently refused California's loud pleas for help. All of this, basically, anybody that was in the way because of this money connection was literally eliminated. So, I mean, of course, then we have California coming up. California was just totally ripped off. And then we even have an Arnold Schwarzenegger. All types of columnists who basically got roped into this deal, too. And basically used Lay. And conveniently, after basically Gray Davis was removed in that famous recall election, all these people got off with pennies on the dollar, mainly because of an agreement with Arnold Schwarzenegger, who met with Lay in California. This thing, all types of people have been on this. Greg Palast has been on this big time. A couple of articles, one called Lay Convicted Bush Walks, and then another one called the Al Capone of Electricity. Ken Lay will get away with his real crimes. That was from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. And so this is, and on the blog, on the web, on the blogosphere, this is common knowledge. But it's, everything is common knowledge about the corrupt underpinnings of the government on the web. That's why 12% of most people get their information not from the newspapers, but from the internet.
And in terms of what Ken Lay got away with, because he did get convicted, so give us some more examples of the things that he got away with, because what we're talking about with the regulatory commission chairman and his getting rid of Curtis Hebert, that's not a crime, but he's still gotten away with it. So tell us some other things that he's gotten away with that may or may not be crimes.
This is Greg Palast. He's a great reporter. He said, fast forward to January 2001. The George Bush, W. Bush administration, within 72 hours of his inauguration, this has all been well planned, issued an executive order lifting the Clinton Energy Department's effective ban on speculative trading in the California power market. The state was still in crisis. Instead of a free market, California's electricity bidding system became a fixed casino where Lay's operatives and a tight-knit cabal of corporate cronies jacked up prices through such tricks as Death Star, Ricochet, and Kilowatt laundering. So basically, all of this stuff was set up back just as soon as they came on board. Cheney, don't mistake. Remember, Cheney is directing the operations here in this administration. This is all Cheney stuff. So and then it goes on.
What's the theory behind the Cheney direction of this? Is it because of the money? Is it because of the power? Is it because he's delivering money to friends and cronies? What's the motivation?
Well, you've got to. What's that great quote? Power corrupts. Absolute power absolutely corrupts. Dick Cheney is probably one of the most shameless people. Unindicted criminals in our system. And he literally, his fingerprints are literally, I wrote an article called Dick Cheney, America's Most Dangerous and Shameless Unindicted Criminal. His fingerprints are over everything that's been done in this administration. As vice president, Cheney has been the decisive force pushing America into war. In the inner councils of the administration, it was he who emasculated Colin Powell, remember him? Cut the State Department out of effective policy making, foisted fake reports on the intelligence agencies, and supplanted the National Security Council through the Department of Special Projects, which had a direct line from the Pentagon Special Office, Office of Special Projects, right to Dick Cheney. It was also Cheney who placed appointees personally loyal to him, including Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz, who basically designed the whole Iraq War, in charge of the Pentagon, and speckled the war-making bureaucracy with desk officers culled from neoconservative Washington think tanks, ideologues with no military experience. It sounds like such a conspiracy, but believe me, the Cheney's hands have been over everything. Who is the person who is arguing right about torture and saying we have a right to do this? I mean, Bush is literally the cheerleader. Cheney.
What's the motivation for Cheney?
Power. It's all about power. Both these people, if you take a background look at both Bush and Cheney, both of these people have, every business they've been in, they've lost. They failed. And Bush and Rumsfeld go back a long, long way. I'm talking about Cheney and Rumsfeld go back to the Ford administration, which literally turned Ford's administration into a disaster by getting rid of key people and turning it far, far to the right. Cheney is perhaps, there's a great article by Ted Allman and Rolling Stone, and he said Cheney was without a doubt perhaps the most unfeeling person. Let me see if I can find that quote. Where is it?
How about this? Why don't we take a break? I'm going to let you find that quote, and we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. Right now I am talking to Alan Rowland. He's a psychotherapist and a columnist at Op-Ed News. He's joining us from Sonoma, California. We're talking about Bush ties with Kinley and how they have been exposed and everything else. Stay with me.
Time has come today. Young hearts can go their way. Can't put it all another day. I don't care what others say. They think we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Does your life need to be energized? Are you in need of some direction and clarity? Is your stuff dragging you down?
Tune into Sort It Out with Lori and Claire, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. We'll help you find the courage to make a change in your life.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920, WGNU.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Carr Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Our guest today is Alan Rowland. He's a psychotherapist and columnist at Op-Ed News, joining us from Sonoma, California. We're talking about George Bush and his close ties with Ken Lay, as well as his relationship with Dick Cheney et al. And, Alan, welcome back.
Thank you.
The quote you were looking for.
I found this. It's from Ted Allman from Rolling Stone, a brilliant, brilliant article written 2004. I'm quoting, as the disaster he has unfolded in Iraq, Cheney has continued to insist against all evidence, he's been doing this all along, that Saddam possessed weapons of mass destruction, that the dictator was aiding al-Qaeda, no connection has ever been made, that nothing the Bush administration has done was a mistake. You've got to understand something. Nothing is a mistake. Even now, with the massacre in Hadatha, they're basically saying that was not a mistake. They were actually just doing exactly what they were supposed to do, even though all these innocent children were killed. Those who have known him for years, this is Dick Cheney, remain astounded by what they describe as his most almost autistic indifference to the thoughts and feelings of others. Mm. Quote, he has the least interest in human beings of anyone I have ever met, said John Parobalo, his former supporter. This is it. They have a, you've got to understand, there's a neocon agenda which they believe in, Rumsfeld and Cheney, Bush being the cheerleader, and that's it. Whatever, we're in charge, this is it, and it's right, and it's perfect. So literally, this is the person who's running our government. It's not Bush, it's Cheney. And if you ever take a picture, see a photo of all of them together, all the and even particularly in the White, in the Oval Office, the energy is always directed toward Dick Cheney. He's the man.
Let me get to a caller here. Dimitri, you have a question for our guest, Alan Rowland.
Yes, I do. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Rowland.
Good morning.
I certainly agree with you that money is a very strong adhesive as far as our government and the people and the persons who people it. But the elephant in the room that you haven't talked about is the fact that aren't most of these people Jewish, and isn't their religion the connection as well? I'll hang up and listen to your response. Thank you, Mr. Rowland.
Thank you. Okay, it's so easy. It's so easy to knock the Jewish cobble. But quite honestly, it's much more of a far right, faith-based religious foundation, which basically...
Are we really seeing, are the policies that we're seeing implemented, the energy policies, the Iraq plan, is that really the result of the religious right, or is it more of the neocons?
It's much more of the neocon.
Mm-hmm.
Much more of the neocon, and plus the fact, you've got to understand that none of these people, Cheney, that didn't even, he was a college dropout. It's all money. Like, money metastasizes, Liz. All values get metastasized. This money was flowing in. We can keep up. What we can do is we bought our presidency, and we can keep ourselves in power by having these key players. Just basically, it's like a cancer. These people all get infected. Ken Lay being the perfect example, by giving $2 million, or $3 million, actually, to the Bush campaign, he has insured himself, put himself in a position where he can raise havoc, particularly with California, as far as his utilities. But
so
there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Guess what?
What's that?
Al Gore. Have you seen his movie, An Inconvenient Truth?
I've seen pieces of it. It just came to town last week, and it's going to hit. It's only one theater right now, so it's going to hit the rest of the theater.
Let me tell you this. It's a superb masterpiece of understatement. And that a simple, restrained, low-key, and unembellished message of the shocking consequences of global warming. I have to tell you, that I went to it, it's been here for 2 weeks here in California. Of course, we get everything much earlier than most people. And it's like, that house was packed, theater was packed. It is a very deeply moving, powerful, and statement.
How is Al Gore the light at the end of the tunnel?
Because right now, we've got a bigger issue. We've got a bigger issue in global warming and what's happening. And energy companies play a role in this. It all ties in with energy, but money going into oil, gas-guzzling machines, et cetera. The fact is we're polluting our atmosphere.
Okay. But how is Al Gore the light at the end of the tunnel?
Because Gore has reached a stature that Bush can never reach. And so he just might be the person to lead us to change our consciousness.
From what perspective?
Making money and from just thinking, now, let's make money. Who cares? To the fact that we've got a responsibility to the planet. And I would venture to say that anybody watching this film would come out of that theater thinking the same thing. We need a change in direction.
I get that, and that makes sense. And I've been an environmentalist for forever. But in terms of attaching a name or a person to this issue, I have not forgotten that Al Gore didn't fight the fight. He capitulated the race at the end, or he capitulated the fight of the vote count. I have not forgotten that Al Gore was also amongst the group of United States senators when Maxine Waters and when a bunch of black caucus members came to them on the floor and asked them for two little votes that would have enshrined forever as part of the congressional record the stealing of the votes that took place. Al Gore made fun of Maxine Waters at the expense or to the pleasurement and to the joy of those who had defeated him. So I haven't forgotten that.
By the way, you're right, and that came out of Fahrenheit.
He reported what others had reported. I mean, he did show that in there, but I was aware of it, and I had been talking about it prior to that. So, I mean, yes, it was part of Fahrenheit 9/11, so I haven't forgotten that. So to hear the word savior attached to it.
No, that savior, I said, light at the end of the tunnel,
okay.
This darkness that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
That very, not so much Al Gore. But that movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll accept that.
That movie. Mm-hmm. Literally, what it did, it raised his stature because he comes across, you've got to see that movie, Liz, before you really, because he comes across as very humble, thoughtful, and compelling.
I don't doubt that he is all of those, but I still saw what I saw with my eyes and experienced what I experienced with my life when he did not fight back. After the votes were stolen, he capitulated. He and Joe Lieberman capitulated, and Joe Lieberman is now being challenged by a progressive Democrat, and he may very well lose his position as he should.
He probably is.
Now,
I agree with you 100%. When I saw that in that movie, Fahrenheit 411 or whatever it was.
9/11.
Mm-hmm. Whatever it was, is that when all those senators from the Black Caucus spoke, and that all they needed was one senator.
Mm-hmm.
And not one of them stood up.
Right.
That was the beginning of the end right there. It was the beginning of the end. They sold out. And, of course, it's like because basically they're all part of the – they're all somewhat part of this. You know, and we're going to do this with the Republic, whatever. But for whatever reason, that's sort of like – right. It carries a black mark. But right now, we need to have another type of consciousness in this country. Besides just making money and deals and all this stuff that we've been doing and ripping off everyone, we've got to be thinking of something bigger. And that's why I mentioned this film, because you can't help but wonder. And with 10 years, we're going to be beyond the point of no return. We need to be talking about just existing, our grandchildren continue to exist in this planet. And unless we do something, unless we basically make decisions based on responsibility and not just making money, literally, we're not going to be able to go any further.
Agreed. I agree that there needs to be a change in focus and a change in priorities, politically speaking. But what has to happen in order to, there are two things that need to happen in order to push that type of change of mindset. You have to have if you are an elected official, you have to have the political will to do that. You have to have the philosophy that it's important, and you have to have the ability to articulate it. And my concern within the elected officials on the, not on the right, because I hesitate to call them on the left. They're more in the middle than they are on the left. The people to do that and to be able to articulate that are few and far between on a national level.
I agree. California, however, it's like California, the primary we just had out here in California was very interesting, and that we had some very good people, particularly on the assembly level, come up from out of nowhere, who were basically talking about the same talk we're talking about right here, progressive and then yet articulate and meaningful dialogue on where we're going. And these people won. And right now there's a tremendous input.
Well, the Democrats lost the race in California, though. They lost the race.
I'm talking about the San Diego.
I'm talking about the Duke Cunningham seat. And they lost it because, from my perspective, there's a wonderful article by Robert Perry that talks about this. They lost it because they adhered to the same don't fight back when you are attacked philosophy that has lost elections all over the place, and the Democratic consultants are the people that are making the money people that are taking the money and advocating these particular ways to move in a campaign, and we shouldn't have lost that election.
You know,
we
you're talking about the DLC.
Yes, I am.
You're talking about the person who basically is at odds with Dean in regards to still the Joe Lieberman Democrat who's running the DLC.
And who's another member of that would be Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Hillary, she is in deep trouble. But remember now, California, she lost because there was a tremendous amount of money put into that campaign. And you're right, that was the strategy. But that strategy is very suspect to a lot of progressive Democrats.
But we lost, and I guess my point is...
Oh, wait, they're rerunning again in November.
We lost. We shouldn't have lost that race. Great. We're rerunning. They're rerunning again. Great. But the Democrats, if you can come within 4 points in a super Republican district, and if you can't win with running against the Dukester, then you should.
It wasn't the Dukester.
It was the Dukester. They used him as that's what they ran on. I mean, I know the Dukester's in jail, but what I'm saying is that if you can't run on what he did and what Republicans stand for in that district and win.
But Liz, think of something bigger here, is that what progressive did win, we had a Joe Lieberman Democrat, and that was Steve Wesley running against Phil Angelides. Angelides won.
Mm-hmm.
Now Angelides is a progressive, hard, tough Greek, and he's taking on Arnold, and by the way, he'll beat Arnold. And a lot of Republican money will be going into Arnold Schwarzenegger's campaign.
My hope, Alan, is this. My hope is that all of the brutal attacks on Democrat that took place during the primary won't cause people to tune out to the gubernatorial race.
Don't underestimate Phil Angelides.
I'm just raising the question.
I watched this guy, and I actually worked a little bit on his campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Actually wrote a blog that literally helped him, particularly here in Northern California.
And we have to take a break right now. I'm talking to Alan Rowland, psychotherapist and columnist for Op-Ed News. He's joining us from Sonoma, California. I'm Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. Stay with us.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Ramallah. The head of the Palestinian Authority says he plans to call for a referendum next month on setting up an independent state. President Mahmoud Abbas made the declaration despite objections by the ruling Hamas party to hold up on such a vote because they think it will give legitimate acknowledgement that the State of Israel does exist. President Abbas is becoming frustrated over continuing armed tensions between his own organization, Fatah, and the ruling Hamas party, and that's stifling progress in establishing a Palestinian homeland. The only way Hamas will be able to okay this referendum is to renounce its previously stated position for the destruction of Israel in order to form a Palestinian state on the entire area that Israel now controls. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert says that such a referendum on this issue would be meaningless and it's only a ploy between the warring factions. Olmert says he's scheduled to meet with the Palestinian president later this year, but he's expecting no significant breakthroughs to take place. And Dateline Los Angeles. The LA Times was out with a report last week that says a shortage of doctors is developing across the country. There are already areas of the United States where patients have to wait much longer than usual to see a physician, and even more so to see specialists. This report indicates the situation is already developing similarities to the Canadian healthcare troubles. Canada has a nationalized healthcare system, but that means since most everything is paid for by the government, demand for services has become enormous, and people are having to wait so long that some wind up dying. Even drugs and modern equipment are hard to come by. Plus, doctors and nurses in Canada healthcare facilities are becoming so overwhelmed that they're becoming frustrated and leaving the profession. The American doctor's shortage is being fueled by the increasing number of people from the baby boom generation who are starting to retire in huge numbers and are becoming ill in record numbers, too. And, of course, doctors from the baby boom generation are retiring as well. It's projected that over the next 15 years, there could be a shortage of between 1 and 200,000 doctors in the United States. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Thinking about moving? Think Allstate. If you're looking for some cheap fly-by-night, this is not the place to call. If you're looking for first-class service in local and long-distance moving, Allstate is the only choice. Celebrating 77 years of service to St. Louis and the nation. Allstate's Transworld Van Lines, 314-389-6200.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care. Still connected to the community.
Hi, I'm Laurie Falkerson. Join me every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 920 WGNU. You'll enjoy hearing stories of people who are making the difference in the lives of others. Join me, Laurie Falkerson, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Yes, we did win the school board election, but our work is not done. So be there this Tuesday at the school board meeting at Car Lane Middle School at 7 o'clock. Our work is not done. Attend your school board meeting.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Mondays at 9. I am talking to Alan Rowland. He's a psychotherapist and a columnist for Op-Ed News. He's joining us from Sonoma, California. And basically, we're talking about politics here. Alan, welcome back.
Thank you.
And we're talking about the impact of the election in last week in California and all across the country. So that you're saying that there are some lights of some positive results of it?
Yes. I'm saying this. That the progressives can take light now. To some degree, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. The Steve Wesley Angelides battle, even as dirty as it was and started by Wesley, by the way, is a good indication of what's happening here. Wesley was a Joe Lieberman Democrat. He was a DLC-type candidate. And Angelides was a true progressive, not backing down, saying, look, we need to basically take some of this money that the rich are getting, and basically a 10% tax on the people who are making over $2 million or $3 million or whatever it was, and let's hand it back to the schools. And it got away with it. And that will be, this is going to be a highlight for this next fall election, because he's not stepping back from that. So, Angelides is a bulldog. He is a tough Greek He's been elected four times, et cetera, but this guy is impenetrable. He will actually, in a face-off with Arnold Schwarzenegger, you'll have all the Bush money going into Schwarzenegger's camp, although he will deny it. He will beat Arnold Schwarzenegger. And the progressives can take heart in this, because Joe Lieberman, I think, also is going to lose, because there's a tremendous amount of progressive money that's now coming in.
Well,
that
it's going,
race against Joe
it's
Lieberman.
Also going to be, and I hope that Joe Lieberman loses his election. I think that he should lose his election. He should have never been on the ticket with Al Gore to begin with. That was a horrible decision and a capitulation. And I guess in retrospect, it's a foretelling of what was going to happen. But nevertheless, he is being challenged, and he could be successfully challenged. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. Although I don't expect that, I don't think anybody expects that Hillary Clinton will be defeated in the primary. However, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of people, if people do raise a protest vote with her.
Yeah, however, the elephant in the room is the people. The people are angry, and they're getting tired of basically being talked to, and particularly by hypocrites like Cheney and Bush,
mm-hmm.
and talked over.
And Democrats as well.
And Democrats as well. And so, quite true. And a lot of people, including myself, are fed up with Democrats, too. So this is it. We want people who are going to make a stand. We're starting to see this in California in the primary elections we just had, who will take a stand, say the right thing, and basically don't get sold out on the money, and not play it safe anymore.
Okay, now the gubernatorial primary was just that. There wasn't a whole lot of focus from the National Democratic Party in that Democratic primary. I know that the DLC was involved with it, but not to the same extent that the Democratic National Party was involved in the congressional race.
You're right, the one in San Diego.
That's correct. So my concern is that, okay, cool, you get somebody in California that is a non-Joe Lieberman type of a candidate. Cool. The Democrats are still running these national races, and we still lost that national race by 4 points that we shouldn't have lost if the DLC hadn't been in charge of that campaign.
However, there are changes in the DLC that are coming up, because Dean, Howard Dean, is at total odds with the DLC, and so is it the majority of the progressives. I mean, most of them, all the progressives. The real battle here, Liz, is the split in the Democratic Party between the Joe Lieberman Democrats and the, let's say, like the Angelides type Democrat, the progressive Democrats. Who's going to win? Well, my feeling is that the progressives will win this, because the government is in such sad shape.
Well, the government, I'm not convinced that that's going to be the thing. I'm not certain what's going to be the thing, that because if the DLC has the money, because Howard Dean Howard Dean's going to have to raise a whole lot of money and to get a whole lot of control from the DLC. I don't know.
Well,
don't know.
This is why the Lieberman election is so important. He's like the kingpin of that type of thinking.
But here's the other piece, and here's what will be the question to the heart, the soul, and the backbone of the Democratic Party. If Joe Lieberman loses the primary, he hasn't said I'm not. He hasn't ruled out the possibility of running as an independent to drain the Democratic votes away from his opponent.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Liz. We've got to get beyond fear. We've got to just do the right thing. That's what Angelides did here in California. He was outrageous enough to say we have to tax the rich, and he got away with it. And so we have to get beyond our fears. We can't say this because people won't vote for us.
No,
have to do it anyway.
No. How sad that that's a big deal that you tax the rich. How sad that was a courageous stand. My point is that in terms of measuring the will of the Democratic Party, what will they do to punish Lieberman if Lieberman gets in that race as an independent? Because what I'm saying is that there should be something going on right now to make certain that Lieberman doesn't do that.
My point is this, though, Liz. One step at a time. Let's get rid of Lieberman first.
But
he will be dead meat after that happens.
Not necessarily.
Then we can handle it at that point. See, right now we need a movement. immediate real progressive movement.
But see,
starting
that's,
from California eastward,
but
as it usually
but
does.
But here's my way of dealing with this. I believe that we have to, and I guess it's because I'm female, multitask. Okay, we have to do more than one thing at a time, and we need to if Joe Lieberman is going to be defeated, you can't wait to the day after the election to then start hammering on Joe Lieberman. There should be, in fact, the Democratic Party, the Democratic movement, the Democrats should be right now telling Lieberman that he better not ever come out and say again that I may not run, I may run as an independent.
That's why I'm a prioritizer. We have to take the first, and mail, obviously.
Yeah, and mail.
Because we have to take the first step first. And so my point is this. Once we knock Lieberman, who basically in no way should be in the position that he is, and literally has just been, you know, he's been like he's been Bush's puppy dog, we need to basically, and that, by the way, that effort is happening right now, is to defeat him. Defeat him in the election, fall election.
Mm-hmm.
Once that happens, there's going to be such a groundswell, a progressive move. We need to, first of all, get a voice. The progressive Democrats need to have a voice. It's been a stifled voice. What they don't realize, and basically finding their voice, they're going to be tapping into an incredible current of energy in this country, of people who are fed up with the administration and want another choice.
I see that people want another choice. There's no question about people want another choice. People want things to be done differently. And my concern and my energy that I use on my show is to talk to people about making certain that don't put false hope in all Democrats. Demand that people push the liberal issues that you want that are important to this country, and then you also punish those that don't. When they were there for the fight and they didn't fight, you don't go back and revisit them, because when people show you who they are, you're supposed to believe them.
Yeah, but that's my point, though. So right now, I want your first 2 points. But as far as punishing Lieberman if it loses. No, he'll be hanging in the wind anyway.
No, punish him if he decides to go as an independent is what I'm saying.
He will carry no weight at all. Absolutely no weight at all.
Shouldn't be in there. Shouldn't be. And that's going to have to be the last thing. Alan Rowland, psychotherapist and columnist for Op-Ed News. Thank you for joining us on Mondays at 9.
Thank you, Liz.
Take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.